That's a stripper's name.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
Sunday, October 29th, 2023. This is your award-winning Gimlo Nation Media Assassination, episode 1603.
This is No Agenda.
Without fear for 16 years and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA Region number 60 in the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from northern Silicon Valley, where everybody's happy that that guy's killed himself, I'm John C. Dvorak.
Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
Are they really happy, though? It's like, oh, I'm so happy.
I was thrilled. Yeah.
I have a problem with this story. Well, there's a couple of problems with this story.
Who doesn't?
I have a couple of problems with this story.
Yeah.
I have a couple of clips.
It's all yours.
Yeah, I have a couple of clips here. Hold on a second. First, let us go to, it was breaking news last night. Let me see. Was it, I think it was, where was it?
Last night?
Yeah, I don't think it was or last night or that. Well, let's see.
No, it did happen on, I think he
the night before last night. Here we go. Yeah.
This is an NBC News special report.
Breaking news, special report.
Jacob Ward coming to you at this hour with an NBC News special report. Law enforcement officials have confirmed
Stop. Is it breaking news or a special report?
It's both.
They started with breaking news, then went to special report. You can't have both.
At NBC News, you can have anything you want.
Suspect in the mass shooting in Maine has been found dead. 40-year-old Robert Card was accused of fatally shooting 18 people in Lewiston, Maine on Wednesday. 13 people were wounded in that shooting. Police have been searching for Card the last two nights, with most of the area under a shelter-in-place order. Sources tell NBC News that Card was found between Lewiston and Bowdoin, Maine, in a wooded area. Officials tell us they'll be holding a 10 p.m. Eastern press conference. We will bring that to you, and we expect additional details to be shared at that time. Again, the breaking news at this hour, mass shooting suspect Robert Card has been found dead in Maine. This has been an NBC News special report.
Breaking news!
Wasn't he found in a dumpster?
No, he was found in a cargo container in the recycling yard that he used to work in.
Yeah. Did he have, I heard that he had two shots to the head.
They can't seem to straighten that little piece of factoid out.
Here's the problem I have. Of all the things, this is my biggest problem.
Lester, law enforcement says a gun was found in that white Subaru. They are looking right now to see if it's the same weapon that was used in the mass shooting, as we are hearing from the Card family, who says that they alerted authorities that this is someone who needed help.
In Robert Card's hometown of Bowdoin, Maine, area-wide shock, even as the suspect's own family reveals chilling details about the decades-long Army reservist. His sister-in-law telling NBC News they alerted police and military officials that Card was experiencing an acute mental health episode in the months before Wednesday's massacre, saying he'd been fitted for high-powered hearing aids a couple of months ago.
Okay, yeah. Let's stop right there.
By the way, I love this hearing aid story.
Well, the thing is, the meme is not just hearing aids. Here's another report.
In Robert Card's hometown of Bowdoin, Maine, area-wide shock. His sister-in-law telling NBC News they alerted police and military officials that Card was experiencing an acute mental health episode in the months before Wednesday's massacre, saying he'd been fitted for high-powered hearing aids a couple of months ago.
Okay, I have a little bit of understanding of guns. We have researched mental health issues, SSRIs, all that for many, many years. But for sure, I have expertise in hearing aids. I have never heard of high-powered hearing aids. So, the question here is, were these actual hearing aids, which were under prescription by an audiologist, or were these high-powered amplifiers, as some are sold, although, thanks to Elizabeth Warren, you can now sell amplifiers over the counter and call them hearing aids. If indeed these were just amplifiers that you tune yourself, that could have been very dangerous. Now, they keep saying he was fitted with hearing aids. That suggests that this was done by an audiologist, possibly the VA. If it was VA, we have no idea. Then it would have been good hearing aids. But you can't just be fitted with hearing aids, high powered. Yes.
You're asking a lot of questions.
Yeah, I'm getting down to somewhere. Yes.
That obviously, if you play some more clips, you will be revealed because the journalists.
Oh, now I see where you're going.
Asked these exact questions.
I see where you're going with this line of questioning, solicitor.
What?
No, of course not. They keep repeating the high-powered hearing aids. There's no such thing as high-powered.
Well, they got a 100-watt amp in the things. What are you talking about here? 1,000 watts?
Well, if it was indeed just an over-the-counter, Elizabeth Warren lobbied for hearing aids, which used to be just called sound amplifiers, then it could be a problem. And yes.
Yeah.
Well, there's actual research this. There's research on this.
Yes. And I don't want to jump the gun on your clips, and I hope that I'm not going to step on anything.
No.
But it seems to me this guy, I don't know who he told this to, because there's no reporting on this, but we hear about it over and over again that he was hearing voices ever since he put the hearing aids in. Now, and they were all condemning him. By the way, the backstory is there were voices about him, which makes me think there could have been a receiver and some joker with a microphone someplace nearby saying, hey, buddy, you suck, something like that. But it seems to me, and I'm sure this will be cleared up because of the great reporting that goes on, that if you put some hearing aids in and you start hearing, hey, Adam, you're an a-hole, and or whatever, in those hearing aids, you just simply take them out.
Well, now we can go down the conspiracy therapist route, but I'd like to start with some actual science, because when you get hearing aids, and this has always been my problem, and I'll say it again, Elizabeth Warren is a horrible person for being lobbied by Bose, mainly getting millions of dollars in campaign donations to allow the Bose hearing amplifiers, to be sold over-the-counter without an audiologist. This is very dangerous. Here's the science of hearing aids. This is from audiologist-fitted hearing devices. The study is auditory hallucinations in adults with hearing impairment, a large prevalence study. This is from PubMed. Out of 829 participants with hearing impairment, 16.2 had experienced auditory hallucinations in the past 4 weeks, significantly more than the non-impaired group. You can definitely have hallucinations if you have a hearing issue. But the conclusion of the report tells it all. Our findings reveal that auditory hallucinations are common among patients with hearing impairment and increase with impairment severity. Although more research on potential confounding factors is necessary, clinicians should be aware that this phenomenon by inquiring after hallucinations in hearing impaired patients and conversely assessing hearing impairment in patients with auditory hallucinations, since it may be a treatable factor. You can treat actual hallucinations of hearing impairment with properly fitted hearing devices, also known as hearing aids. You need to be consistently checked, otherwise you have a bogus audiologist. It's like going to an eye doctor. Now you have to go back regularly to make sure that your settings are right. This high powered thing is what really bugs me, because there is no such thing as high powered hearing aids. But if they're fitted properly, it will bring you back to a somewhat normal level, and it's not just the amplification, it's the frequencies, it's the type of tip that you put on, whether it's open, closed. I mean, there's a lot that goes into this. So the only other thing that could possibly happen is he had crappy hearing aids, which are over-the-counter Elizabeth Warren-based hearing aids, and she should be responsible for 18 deaths. I'm going to pin it on her if that's what happened, because that would just be blasting your ear, and if you're already prone to hallucinations and mental issues, yeah. And furthermore, they can stream from your phone. So who knows what was going on? Because you can mix it. It's not A or B. You can have something. You could have a podcast playing. It could have been us playing on his podcast player. You don't know. But I need to understand what these high-powered hearing aids were. This is a red herring. Something's up with this.
Well, I think finding the genesis of the usage and terminology high-powered hearing aid in the media needs to be discovered, because that's the root of it. Who said that?
Well, from the reports, it was his sister-in-law.
Out of the blue, she said
high-powered hearing aids. Yes. That is,
why would she say that? There's nothing I'd say, nothing I don't know anyone would say.
Well, the only other thing I can think of is that somehow they want high-powered to be high-powered rifle, high-powered this, high-powered that. Now, it is true that I bypassed all of the software. I was given the software, actually, to my hearing aids, which an audiologist is not allowed to do. But, hey, I'm the podfather. They got me. And I was able to jack up my hearing aids where I could be in the mall and I could hear two people talking on the other side of the mall. I could filter it out. I could hit a button and I could hear them talking about me. So that is possible. But that is only possible if they are incorrectly fitted. So the two things, high powered and fitted, do not go together. I need to know more. It doesn't matter, because this is going full on political. With NBC, listen to the local color of how they're positioning this guy. And I have boots on the ground from neighbors whose family taught Bible at the family home. Very typical, nothing to see here. He was so quiet. He was so calm. But that's not how NBC wants you to think of it.
Liam, we understand that you grew up near Robert Card and his family. Can you tell us anything you know about the person of interest in these shootings?
Near. So just near. All right. So let's really position this as a Waco-style nut job. How can we do that? Can we, NBC?
Thanks.
Well, I grew up about half a mile or half a mile away. Bowdoin is a very interesting community. There's kind of like a center hub near the school and the town store, excuse me. And then you have like West Bowdoin, but they all interconnect around the school and the town store, and I just happen to live near there. And the family complex, it's basically a compound. They are the family. And
basically a compound. Are you with me? Are you feeling me? The family had a complex, but it's basically a compound. There's lots of families that have ranches in Fredericksburg, too. You know, they have a couple houses on the land that they've owned for decades or longer than that. No, now it's a compound.
You live in a compound.
I do. In fact, I do live in a compound.
And the family complex, it's basically a compound. They're the family and Robert, they're all gun fanatics. They are, for all intents and purposes.
Oh, listen to the laugh tale. They're all gun fanatics.
Gun fanatics. They, for all intents and purposes, are very much associated with right-wing militias. It's known in the town.
Oh, militias. Militias, for all intents and purposes.
The guy's lived a half a mile away. He doesn't know these people. Has he been to their house for dinner?
Exactly. No, because it's a complex. They're gun nuts. They're, for all intents and purposes, they're militias.
All gun fanatics.
On a compound.
They, for all intents and purposes, are very much associated with right-wing militias. It's known in the town to stay away from them and to not approach them.
There's no evidence of anyone in the town saying, stay away from them. Oh, no.
If you see them, you just turn around and walk away. I remember going to the town store when I was a kid, about, around 12, 14. And I remember very vividly, and the image that's been kind of going ahead around in my head is I'm going to the store and there's a weigh station there for deer. So he just killed a deer with his buddies.
Okay, it's called hunting. All right. Now he's making it sound like Deer Hunter. He had just killed a deer with his buddies.
I'm going to the store and there's a weigh station there for deer. So he had just killed a deer with his buddies. And the deer was hanging and blood was dripping on the ground.
This is great. You take the deer to the processing place, you know, weigh station, whatever you want to call it. Yes, and that's exactly. If if you grew up in Maine and you've been there since you were very young, you're telling me this shocked you that hunters do that? Oh, clutch your pearls.
I'm going to
this school. Guy definitely has the pearls to clutch.
And there's a way station there for deer. So he just killed a deer with his buddies. And the deer was hanging and blood was dripping on the ground from the deer. And he was covered in blood with a gun on his back with a giant grin on his face. And they were all smoking cigarettes and drinking their morning coffee and like praising each other.
Yes. Look, I got a 12 point buck or whatever. Of course. Oh man, that is some. Now
this is counter programming. This is NBC should be ashamed of itself for putting this on, and everyone who lives in Maine should protest this presentation. This is telling normal activity, which is deer hunting, normal activity, making it sound like you're some sort of bloodthirsty screwball to be doing it is shameful.
Particularly for the state of Maine. And
there's the maniacs up there should be really pissed off.
Here's another quick, interesting report.
Now to Maine. Tonight, we are learning that a statewide alert was issued for Robert Card last month, warning police to be on the lookout for him after he made threats against his military base and fellow Army reservists.
Okay, so why wasn't this guy picked up? There was a BOLO, basically all points bulletin. Get this guy. He's got to come in. So what kind of setup was this? Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter for him, for his family on the compound. You know, the deer are safe now in Maine because let's go straight to 100% political. Let's go to the Late Show. Who knew that they were back on the air? But yes, we have to deal with them.
Last night, there was another horrific mass shooting in America, this time in Lewiston, Maine, where 18 people were killed, more than a dozen injured. This is unfathomable darkness, and there are no words to describe the sickening grief and horror.
Don't worry, he's got plenty of words.
The suspected shooter, who as of this taping is still at large, reportedly has a history of mental health issues, including hearing voices, who had also threatened to shoot up a National Guard base, and who was committed to a mental health facility for 2 weeks over this past summer. Yet, he was still able to get guns. Now, we know the argument. Some people are going to say this is a mental health issue. Others are going to say it's a gun issue.
This is interesting that he says he was still able to get guns. Well, we all know that he had a compound. Benny was, and he was hanging around with bloody deer at the upside down way station. That's nothing to do with getting guns. He had guns.
But there's no reason it can't be both. For instance, some people are going to look at this tragedy and say, we don't have enough guns in America.
Stop. Isn't he supposed to be a comedian doing his monologue, kind of making light of various current events? What is he preaching? What kind of comic is this guy?
I think the comedy left him.
We're talking about Stephen Colbert here, who is out. This is not funny.
Oh, he has funny bits later on. He yucks it up later.
This is not funny.
Now, we know the argument. Some people are going to say this is a mental health issue. Others are going to say it's a gun issue. But there's no reason it can't be both. For instance, some people are going to look at this tragedy and say, we don't have enough guns in America. That alone proves some of us are mentally ill. It doesn't matter.
Woo!
It doesn't matter.
You're mentally ill. It's funny.
It doesn't matter where the answers come from Republicans or Democrats or independents. There's no reason for this to be a partisan issue. Humans are dying.
But let's make it a partisan issue. Please, Stephen, come on.
A human issue. Mm-hmm. And at times like this, you can feel powerless, but you're not. Because you can make this the issue you vote on. And I promise you, no matter what side of the aisle you presently sit on, you will not be alone, because 86% of your fellow Americans want universal background checks before any gun purchase.
And just how would that have stopped this tragedy, Mr. Colbert? I mean, it's ridiculous.
I know all these solutions don't work.
And there are universal background checks. Oh, my goodness. This old trope again.
Universal background checks before any gun purchase. A majority.
Whenever you hear woo woo woo, that is a crowd uh, a, a crowd teaser. That's the guy with the...
The guy in the front, yeah.
In the front who has the, you know, he has the script and he's banging that in the air and he's twirling and the applause signs are going. Whenever you hear, woo-hoo, that is one of those guys.
Be alone, because 86% of your fellow Americans want universal background checks before any gun purchase. A majority.
There he is. Woo-hoo!
A majority of your fellow Americans want a ban on assault-style weapons. More than 80% of Americans want Congress to do something, anything.
He's got, he even has the legal language down. Assault-style weapons. Assault-style scary-looking rifles.
To prevent mass shootings. So ask your representative, what will you do? And if they don't have an answer immediately at hand, if they say it's too soon to talk about this, that means they've never really given it any serious thought, because they have had plenty of time since Uvalde and Marjorie Stoneman Douglas and Sandy Hook and the Pulse nightclub.
Oh, yeah.
So if they don't have an answer now, they will never have an answer.
Well, Stephen Colbert has a little more to say.
Now, we do have a new Speaker of the House. Self-professed, devoutly religious man who on his first day in office...
Self-professed, devoutly religious man. It's called a Christian.
Now, we do have a new Speaker of the House. A self-professed, devoutly religious man who on his first day in office addressed this unspeakable tragedy. Let's hear what his new ideas are.
This is a dark time in America. We have a lot of problems, and we're really, really hopeful and prayerful. Prayer is appropriate in a time like this, that the evil can end and this senseless violence can stop. And so that's the statement this morning for the, on behalf of the entire House of Representatives. Everyone wants this to end, and I'll leave it there.
Why would you leave it there? Is that what you think produces hope, just leaving it there and walking away from the problem?
I love how he does that. That was his statement for this morning. That's not the end of the legislative process, if there's ever going to be one. So he's implying, what, you're just gonna pray? That's it?
We're already capable of hope and prayer ourselves.
This is quite interesting, since Colbert is a religious nut himself.
Is he now?
On the Catholic side, so he's basically a hypocrite.
You're capable of governing, theoretically. And I'm sorry if that sounds like too hard of a job for you. If that seems like too hard of a job,
that.
You know who's really got a hard job now? The people in Lewiston, Maine. That is hard.
Let's get to the comedy, Colbert.
Did we listen to this guy's pontification for how long?
You want me to
no wonder nobody, this show is no good.
he does.
By the way, John Stewart's the executive producer of the show.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, this to me is politicization of a tragedy. As usual.
Yeah, to get people to vote Democrat.
Yeah, there's some deep stuff going on here, which actually, let me switch over. So, Professor Galloway, Scott Galloway, Prof G.
Oh, your buddy.
Prof G. Yeah. Now, he went on the Bill Maher show, which Bill Maher's back, and it was quite interesting. He had Galloway on. He had the Jessica Tolvar, I think her name is. She's the Democrat on the Five on Fox, and even had Cuomo on, which was quite interesting. And I'll get back to this gun thing in a moment. But this is a very short clip. This is the clip that everybody was, I mean, Twitter, X was mad. They were so mad at him for saying this. And he has actual emotion in his voice, because he's, in a half-assed way, he's trying to ask for forgiveness for his horrible stance on COVID, which went way beyond school lockdowns. I mean, I didn't even look for the clips. I'm sure I could find tons of them.
Ooh, Galloway?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they were horrible. You know, anti-vaxxers, you know, you're killing everybody. You shouldn't be allowed in the hospital. Screw you. All of that stuff. And so, so Galloway is trying to ask for a bit of grace here.
Well, I was on the board of my kid's school during COVID. I wanted a harsher lockdown policy. And in retrospect, I was wrong. The damage to kids of keeping them out of school longer was greater than the risks. But here's the bottom line. Myself, our great people, the CDC, I'd like to think the governor, We were all operating with imperfect information, and we were doing our best.
Do you hear his emotion? His emotion in his voice?
Yeah, I can hear the shaky. And that's real.
We were all operating with imperfect information, and we were doing our best. So
hold on, let me just go back. I want to hear the shaky. It's a little muffled.
Great people, the CDC. I'd like to thank the governor. We were all operating with imperfect information, and we were doing our best. So
let's learn from it. Let's hold each other accountable, but let's bring a little bit of grace and forgiveness in the shit show that was COVID.
So now he wants grace and forgiveness. I'll forgive him. I forgive him wholeheartedly for everything he has said and done. I always said I would do that. He needs to really come with some repentance because this is half-hearted and say the good people at CDC. Okay, fine. But that's not really why he's emotional, John. He's emotional because this man and his partner, your former protege, Kara Swisher, are so afraid of God. They are trembling. This is his true fear. Because in the same show, he talks about the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who you heard Stephen Colbert just, as you said, be very hypocritical about. Oh, all you got is hope and prayers. Oh, man, is that all you got? So this comes up on the same show.
We keep hoping, this time it'll show them for who they are. This is just enormously disappointing. We are normalizing climate change. We are normalizing anti-Semitism. And we are normalizing a kicking out of the legs of the stool of democracy. Central to our democracy, regardless of what you think about our country, it's the best of its kind so far, hands down. Democracy, the pillars of that are one, the peaceful transfer of power. And this guy was an architect of trying to arrest that and a society that is secular. And when a guy gets this nod and says that God ordained it, I'm like, well, boss, whose God is that? Because this is the whole point here is that we separate church and state, that we believe in the peaceful transfer of power. And the reason this guy is speaker is none of us have the time to read his resume and realize he's David Duke Light.
Well, we did now.
I thought this was great. David Duke Light. Is that because he's a Christian or is he a racist?
Well, I don't know if he's David Duke Light. I read today he has an adopted black son.
Oops.
I don't think David Duke would do that, but he is a religious nut. He was the lawyer for Alliance Defending Freedom. This is from their literature. They seek to recover the robust Christian domic. I don't know that word. You're a professor. Maybe you do. Christian domic theology of the 3rd, 4th, and 5th centuries. Maybe the 5th.
Now, do you know what that means? The Christian domic?
It may be related to the Dominionism movement that took place some time ago.
Yeah, that's what I think he was talking about. Because I couldn't find it.
That would be it.
I couldn't find it, which is...
It has to be Dominionism, which is the belief that, we're having... this is the rapturists and the guys who are thinking that the world's going to end any minute.
Well, Dominion theology, the Dominionism from the Book of Knowledge... says it's a group of Christian political ideologues who seek to institute a nation that is governed by Christians and based on their understanding of biblical law. But that could also easily be the rapture folks, sure.
But the 3rd and 4th, I mean, he uses the phrase the so-called separation of church and state. This is the alliance of this is I hate to fascism. The word is thrown around.
But oh, fascism.
Always
okay.
The far right church folks meet with the corporate power folks. That's Mussolini. That's all these fascist states. And this is now that, and of course, Trump doesn't give a shit either way about religion. He'll say whoever likes him,
right.
He will, sure, right. I'm down with. So he's, of course, going to just cave on all this religious nonsense.
So I'm sensing a very big fear of religious people in government and maybe of God himself. But now, wait, because I have some clips of him and Kara Swisher. But first, let's go to a supercut of what the media is saying about the new Speaker of the House of Representatives.
Election denier.
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 An election denier.
Election denier.
Election denier.
An election denier.
Election denier.
Election denier.
Election denier.
Election denier.
The Louisiana lawmaker has been a vocal supporter of former President Donald Trump.
The Louisiana lawmaker has been a vocal supporter of former President Donald Trump.
Johnson is a vocal supporter of former President Donald Trump.
Johnson is known as a
vocal supporter of former
President Donald Trump.
Johnson is known as a
vocal supporter of former President Trump.
The lawmaker is a
vocal supporter of former President Donald Trump.
Johnson has been a vocal supporter of former President Donald Trump.
Johnson has been
a vocal supporter
of former President Donald Trump.
He played a key role in the failed efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election.
Johnson was a key congressional figure in the failed efforts to overturn the 2020 election.
He was also a key congressional figure in the
failed efforts to overturn the 2020 election.
This is good.
You know,
the script is so dynamite.
Who was the last Speaker of the House who was an election denier?
Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi was an election denier.
Yes. Of course she
was. You can find quote after quote after quote around 2016 about her going on and on and on about Trump didn't win. He's illegitimate. You know, this thing needs to be looked into. So big deal. Yeah.
Well, so Kara and Scott are beside themselves with this guy. And it's not, and I think he was wasn't he second in charge of the Republican caucus? It's not like he's a complete unknown guy, is he? I mean, not that he was on the radar, but he's been around. He's been a congressman. He didn't just pop out of nothing.
He's a fairly new congressman, relatively, and he didn't just pop up. He's everybody knows him and likes him, and from all perspectives, he seems like a good guy. And yes, he's a strong Christian, but there's been plenty of them in these jobs, and they do the job fine. It doesn't mean it interferes with anything. It's just this nonsense.
Oh, no.
What is he going to do?
It interferes directly with our country. He is also third in line. This is very scary.
No, it's the third in line bugs him.
Very scary for Scott and Kara.
This guy is unqualified for this job and so far to the right of most Americans. It's really quite astonishing.
Unqualified for the job?
Because they don't
does
know
she
who
explain?
He is.
Explain?
Yes, of course she does. It's obviously, just wait for it.
With him. I can't believe it, but Jim Jordan's less problematic than this guy.
Yeah, I mean, based on my initial readings, it's David Duke without the baggage. You know, it just, if you read this guy, his background, first off, his statement was really troubling. He said that God had ordained this.
Right.
And when someone actually believes that God has ordained this, it's just enormously disappointing. If you think more broadly, I believe on social policy, we've become this white Christian nationalist government. I mean, if you look at what has happened.
I love the Jew who keeps saying that. White Christian nationalist. You're saying that like it's a bad thing, bro.
From a public policy, a social policy standpoint, whether it's Roe being overturned, I mean, school, ridiculous.
What?
These guys are bitching about the facts not in evidence. This is stuff that already happened.
I don't even think that they've even listened to his speech.
Puzzles around.
It's very Handmaid's Tale. It is.
Handmaid's Tale.
White Christian nationalist.
White Christian nationalist.
Oh,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. They're afraid. And Kara will explain in a moment.
In order to pacify the far left or the left, well, let's engage in reckless spending and have $7 trillion in expenditures with $5.5 trillion in receipts. Well, the only thing that passes for anything bipartisan is reckless spending. Oh, you want to cut taxes? You want more social spending? I know. Let's do both.
Okay. So before we give the big reveal of what Scott and Kara think, let's play an actual piece from what I thought was a pretty reasonable speech from this guy. He's young. I like that. Someone who's under 50. Younger than me, I think he is. So, okay. And he seems like he's on the up and up, as you said, seems like a nice guy. So here's what he actually said about the ordained bit.
I want to tell all my colleagues here what I told the Republicans in that room last night. I don't believe there are any coincidences in a matter like this. I believe that scripture, the Bible, is very clear that God is the one that raises up those in authority. He raised up each of you, all of us. And I believe that God has ordained and allowed each one of us to be brought here for this specific moment in this time. This is my belief.
It's a little different than the way they position it. Like, God made me the Speaker of the House.
I believe that each
that's what they're thinking. Like,
it's a very common, the way he's expressing it is not uncommon. Even if you're not super religious, you might say something like that.
Yeah.
These guys just don't like the fact that he probably goes to church every Sunday.
In fact, and I'll just say, only on a quick personal note, one of the hardest things for me in the Bible as a new Christian is that we're supposed to pray for our leaders. It's very hard for me. It's like, I got to pray for this. That's why I pray for Joe Biden to go nuts and confess right there on television. But yes, of course.
One of us has a huge responsibility today to use the gifts that God has given us to serve the extraordinary people of this great country, and they deserve it, and to ensure that our republic remains standing as the great beacon of light and hope and freedom in a world that desperately needs it.
By the way, this clapping is on both sides of the aisle. They're standing on both sides.
Yes, I saw that.
Both sides.
Yeah, I should also mention something. Brooks, I don't have the clip, I don't think. Brooks on last Friday, he who's also a Jewish, Jewish atheist. Very common amongst intellectual circles to be a Jewish atheist. And he said that he listened to the thing and he would be in the same kind of league as Galloway in terms of his thought process. He says that he really took solace in his speech. He says what he says is true in the way he presented himself, he has no problems with the guy. Brooks said, I hope that he means what he said, because he took the speech very positively. And I think it was very magnanimous. I didn't think it was a big anything. Galloway's, something's wrong with him.
Well, wait until you hear Kara, because I can tell you what's wrong with them. They are at the forefront of the trans Maoist movement. They hate the fact that God is mentioned anywhere within politics. They have this stick up their ass about separation of church and state. You know, look at your dollars, Scott. Look at what's literally in Congress, in God We Trust. I mean, you can't remove that. You may want to, but you got to do a little more work than bitching on a podcast.
It was in 1962 that our national motto, In God We Trust, was adorned above this rostrum. And if you look at the little guide that they give tourists and constituents who come and visit the House, if you turn in there to about page 14 in the middle of that guide, it tells you the history of this. And it says very simply, these words were placed here above us. This motto was placed here as a rebuke of the Cold War era philosophy of the Soviet Union. That philosophy was Marxism and communism, which begins with the premise that there is no God. This is a critical distinction that is also articulated in our nation's birth certificate. We know the language well, the famous second paragraph that we used to have children memorize in school, and they don't do that so often anymore, but they should. G.K. Chesterton was the famous British philosopher and statesman, and he said one time, America is the only nation in the world that is founded upon a creed. And he said it's listed with almost theological lucidity in the Declaration of Independence. What is our creed? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, not born equal, created equal. And they are endowed by the same inalienable rights, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. That is the creed that has animated our nation since its founding, that has made us the great nation that we are.
All right, so now we go back for the final clip of Pivot, and you can hear exactly what their problem is.
Let me just say, he also has a podcast with his wife, Kelly. They're podcast co-hosts. They have a show called Truth Be Told. Let's listen to a clip from earlier this year.
By the way, I'll say his wife does not have a fortunate podcast voice.
Who talked about what scared them about some members of Congress.
some of these voices now are in this chamber arguing that our rights do not come from God. How, you know, think about how scary that is. If you believe your rights come from government, then it means you don't really owe any allegiance at all to God.
Yeah.
You have no accountability.
Well, you're not free.
You're not free because the people who are governing you and giving you things in exchange for those things always comes a sacrifice of your liberty.
Absolutely.
Okay. It's called the Constitution, sir. This is the guy in charge of the Constitution right now.
I think I met them. I actually think I met them at a key party in Boca Raton.
Yeah, no dick jokes on that podcast.
They sound like fun people to roll with. I'm sorry. Yeah. So as an atheist, I don't have... Wait, I don't get it. I don't have an invisible friend. What does this mean for me? I shouldn't pay taxes. Fucked. I don't have
that
rights.
That means you are. You cannot make dick jokes on this podcast next year when he takes over as king.
There it is. They just can't stand that rights. You can call it from the magical man in the sky, whatever it is. We have these rights in America. Government didn't give us these rights. And that's their problem. And that's totally back to the trans Maoist movement that's going on right now. I don't have an imaginary buddy who gave me these rights. Yes, you do, Scott. You do whatever you want. We had them before government came along. The Constitution that he's in charge of, according to Kara, is rules the government cannot, things the government cannot do. It's not giving you rights. These people truly believe government gives you rights. They're spearheading all this. This is the problem. And man, it's only going to get worse with this Israel-Hamas thing. It's only going to get worse. We have a bunch of mind-controlled BLM marching NPCs who are, oh, yeah, free Palestine. I don't know. What is the thing today? That's what it is. And it's grabbing hold. It's grabbing hold all over the world. It's going to be a religious war fought on, well, in Iran, of course. But because that's the ultimate military-industrial complex tactic. But it's you know, this is now we're getting this, it's going to be a holy thing, and we're getting everybody riled up. We got Muslims against Christians. It's going to be everywhere, you know. Here's Andrea Mitchell.
Video showing Jewish students scared inside a Cooper Union College library as pro-Palestinian protesters pounded on the door, shouting "Free Palestine." Anti-Israel slogans projected at night on campus buildings at George Washington University in downtown Washington. A Jewish man describes a home invasion in Los Angeles. He says the attacker was shouting this.
Free Palestine, we need to kill the Israeli people.
An alarming surge in anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S. since the Hamas terror attack in Israel and Israel's airstrikes in Gaza. According to the Anti-Defamation League, up 388% over the same period last year.
To what do you attribute it?
When you dehumanize and demonize Israelis and Jews, it leads to anti-Jewish sentiment around the world. And we've seen how anti-Semitism has been normalized here in the United States.
The White House calling the incidents of anti-Semitism over the past week a disturbing pattern that shocked the conscience and turned the stomach.
I think they love it. I think they love it on both sides. Ah, let's get everyone all riled up against each other everywhere. Worldwide.
Calls for a Gaza ceasefire got loud in Los Angeles and Chicago, with thousands filling the streets. At this pro-Palestinian march in New York City, Orthodox Jews lined up, a sign of solidarity on their Sabbath.
The fact that they walk hours and hours to show support to Palestine is a true testament that this is not a religious conflict.
This sit-in, staged by a Jewish group, shut down New York's Grand Central Terminal late Friday. In New Zealand, Italy, and London, hundreds of thousands demonstrated in support of Palestinians.
What the Israelis are doing, this is genocide.
In front of a massive crowd in Istanbul, Turkey's president called Israel an occupier and war criminal. Shabbat tables for the more than 200 hostages were set in Germany and Washington, D.C. Families in Tel Aviv demanding answers from their government.
I can't wait anymore. I need my son back home.
The U.S. has so far pledged unconditional support for Israel, reminding the country to follow the rules of war, but firmly resisting any calls for a ceasefire.
I love the rules of war bit. That's so good. Kill humanely. Follow the rules of war. And we didn't have this during Trump, but guaranteed is coming back. And I was blown away. Do you know Salty Cracker? You know the guy Salty Cracker? I'm sure you've seen his videos. Yeah, he's a funny guy. I think he was mainly on YouTube. He's probably now mainly on Rumble. So he was on and he's a millennial along with this guy on The Quartering. And these guys see it. They see exactly what's going to happen, and they take it one step further, which solves another question for us.
I mean, what is your thoughts on the likelihood of a terror attack in the United States in the near future? I feel like it's definitely higher than it was 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, I think if we start blowing up more places in the Middle East, you're definitely going to see stuff. Well, you saw some stuff popping off already.
We already see violence.
They're already punching each other and hitting each other. And in the UK, there was a terrorist attack, and the police and everything got together to make sure nobody knew the guy's name. And so they know that it's coming, and they're going to kind of protect it. Essentially, is what we're going to see, because the conflict is the point. They didn't stir up the Middle East and let all of the Middle Easterns into this place, and then go back to stir up the Middle East again. On that is insane that you couldn't see what's going to happen.
We just left, bro. We just left this year.
It doesn't make any sense that you don't understand what's going to happen. Like, how do I know what's going to happen? I'm an idiot. I'm just in my room over here screaming about politics, but I can figure this out. It has to be on purpose.
Yeah, there's going to be some lunatic. It takes you to a dark place, but there's going to be some lunatic at a Taylor Swift concert that blows himself up. Oh. And then that's going to give our government, the green light to just, you know, that's just like they did with 9/11. I mean,
Yeah, there you go. Now we know why they're using Taylor Swift. Let's blow up a Taylor Swift concert. It would be perfect.
Okay. Let's listen to PBS's reporting on this war of whatever kind of war it is. This is called, these clips are called Me War, Middle East War. And this is the PBS update.
Hold on. One, two. Oh, got it.
In Gaza tonight, residents say they're experiencing the most intense bombardment of Israel's three-week-old war on Hamas. The air and sea assault is supporting Israeli tanks and infantry carrying out increased ground raids. An Israeli spokesman says they're targeting Hamas squads in northern Gaza that have fired rockets into Israel. A virtual communications blackout means the only information is coming from official statements from both sides. The Israeli military says it hasn't suffered any new casualties. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry says that more than 7,700 Palestinians have died in the war so far, though we don't know how many of those are Hamas fighters. And tonight, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu warned Israelis that the fighting, which he called the Second War of Independence, would be long and difficult. Our report is from Leila Milana Allen in Israel.
On Saturday, dense smoke rising from airstrikes filled Gaza's skyline as Israel entered day two of escalated ground raids. The Israel Defense Forces released video of what it said were its tanks entering the Gaza Strip. In a press conference, Israeli officials called it a new phase of the war, but did not define it as a full-fledged ground invasion.
In the past day, we have taken a step forward. We sent such powerful fire against the enemy that it made the ground shake. This was like nothing Hamas has ever experienced before.
The Israeli side of the border remained heavily fortified.
I like that you label these clips Me War, because it made me think of Meme War, which is so appropriate.
Yeah.
It really is a meme war online.
First of all, the PBS in particular is NPR and PBS both. They're on the Palestinian side. Mm-hmm. It's fairly obvious by the way they cover these
things. Yes, yeah, yeah.
And I'd say the mainstream media is mostly on the Palestinian side.
Yeah, because it's political, as we already saw.
And the Israeli state is being, for one thing, there's some sort of an aspect to this where they're being set up. To fail.
Yes.
Because they had the upper hand from the get-go, and they're gonna kind of be talked into, and by their very nature, lose the upper hand, the moral upper hand, by killing a lot of innocents.
Yes.
To the point where, and it will be exaggerated by the mainstream media and PBS and the news and all the rest of them, that
they didn't follow the rules of war.
So they're in trouble. I think Israel's in trouble, and the second war of independence and all the rest of it. I think Netanyahu's everybody's in trouble, and the U.S. our intelligence people are kind of in trouble because we do want to do something with Iran, but you know, this is the meetings that are going on, how we do it, what we do.
We need to move it away from this conflict. We need to deflect the media's attention from this to something else.
I think they're trying to do that with the supposed, I don't know if the yes or no, if these are real, these attacks on the American bases that shouldn't exist, the one in Syria.
I have those clips for later.
I don't know why it's there, but okay, there's one there, and the Iranians are supposedly taking their drones and piling on.
I got those clips for later, after you're done.
So, but let's go on to clip two of this presentation.
We were here on the border with Gaza last night as the Israel Defense Forces announced they were sending more ground troops in. They've confirmed this morning that they did attack Gaza last night from the air, from land, and from the sea, accessing it from three points, the north, the east, and the northeastern corner just behind me. This morning, that operation's still ongoing, and we can hear the sound of artillery fire coming from positions spread all across the border.
Listen carefully.
In a new video, the IDF issued another warning for Gazans in the north to leave.
For your immediate safety, we urge all residents of northern Gaza and Gaza City to temporarily relocate south.
But airstrikes have cut off internet and phone signal in Gaza. And Arabic, not English, is the main language for most Palestinians living in Gaza. Palestinians in the West Bank criticized the blackout.
People can't even call each other and tell each other what is going on. Why are you censoring the media? Show us what you are doing. Why are you not showing the children that you killed? Why do you kill women?
Some Israelis also criticized the increased attacks. Ilan Zakaria's niece, Eden, is among the Hamas hostages. At a gathering in Tel Aviv, he worries she and the other captives might become collateral damage. Outside the region, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan had harsh words for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at a pro-Palestinian rally.
Just as Netanyahu is a terrorist, the opposition says Hamas is a terrorist organization as well. Shame on you.
Netanyahu said Israel held the moral high ground.
This kidnapping was a crime against humanity. Those who are accusing our soldiers of war crimes are hypocrites and liars. They have no morality left.
In response to Erdogan, Israel's foreign minister ordered the withdrawal of its diplomats from Turkey.
Now, there you go. There you go.
A little battle going on there. Mm-hmm. Again, if you listen to the reporting, it's very one-sided. But here's the one this third clip has got a little bit in here, which I have to comment on.
In New York City Friday, activists with the group Jewish Voice for Peace demonstrated at Grand Central Station, calling for a ceasefire. The group said the NYPD arrested hundreds of protesters.
Jewish Voices for Peace is a front organization for I don't know who.
Well, that's the guys that we found the other day.
Yeah,
that's the ACT Blue. Ultimately, it goes back to ACT Blue.
It's a Democrat front, and it's very pro-Palestinian, and they're also connect. They started off in it's a Berkeley operation that was supposedly founded by Noam Chomsky, Naomi Klein, and a bunch of other. Yeah. Kind of
Democrats.
Jewish radicals,
Democrats,
Jewish liberals, progressive Jews, and they're very closely connected to, in fact, they link to this group called Jewish Voices for Peace Action.
Mm-hmm.
and it is a group that has candidates that run candidates for office. Yes. And I have their website here. And I just want to go through some of their candidates. This is a Jewish organization, supposedly. And here's some of the candidates. Our congressional candidates. Cori Bush.
Not a Jew. Jew hater. Not a Jew as far as I know.
Jew hater. Chuy Garcia. Andre Carson. Raul. I can't even pronounce his last name. Pramila Jayapal, a Jew hater.
Big time.
Betty McCollum, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez at pushing her.
Yes, of course.
Ilhan Omar.
Yes, I'm sure she's very Jewish.
Jew hater. So they have these. Rashida Tlaib is on their list.
It's the squad. It's the whole squad, of course.
The whole squad is on here, plus a bunch of new squad that we don't know about. But this is not some Jewish pro-Israel. No. This is a scam, and it's a fringe scam. And the fact that if you play that little clip, that PBS would bring them into the picture because they've got some organized protests at Grand Central Station where they're all wearing the same exact printed t-shirt and pre-printed signs.
Yeah.
Is a sign, the sign that something's up and we're not getting good news coverage from these people.
Well, we're getting the exact news coverage they want us to get, which is these are the people you want to vote for. These are the peaceful people. And I'm seeing it. I am seeing the same young people who were snookered into Black Lives Matter, snookered in. Fun to see Tucker Carlson finally figuring out that George Floyd actually died of a fentanyl overdose and not of any asphyxiation or anything like that. No crushed bones.
How many years
nothing.
Has it been?
Yeah. But, you know, and this is part of that loneliness thing. People need allyship. They need it. The world is confusing, and there's enough quote unquote migrants who are here, who are more than likely, I have boots on the ground. There's more and more Middle Easterners coming in over the border, and they're not coming in. They're being shipped in. They're being flown in. They're being escorted in. This is all to get them to continue to vote Democrat eventually when they get their automatic path to citizenship. It's a very, very twisted, stupid, evil plan, but that's all they got, I guess. To stay in
Let's
power.
Let's go to clip four.
And those Jewish peace activists, as well as so many others now, calling for a ceasefire because of what we're seeing in Gaza, particularly last night as Israeli ground operations intensified there. Suddenly the phone and internet signal went out. One of Gaza's main phone companies sent a text message to its customers saying, "We're so sorry, our towers are down. There's nothing we can do. We are losing connection now." So people in Gaza voiceless through the night as they were under these intense...
Wait a minute. So the towers went down, and then they sent a text message to everybody saying the towers are down? But I don't quite understand. Let me hear that again.
"We're so sorry. Our towers are down. There's nothing we can do. We are losing connection now." So people in Gaza voiceless through the night as they were under these intense bombardments. People were unable to call ambulances. And we've heard this morning that ambulance drivers were standing at high points throughout trying to see where the explosions were so they could just drive directly there. People unable to communicate with their families to see if they're all right. People this morning saying, "We've been digging children out of the rubble with our bare hands because we can't call for help." Gaza now are completely voiceless. They are unable to speak out as they are under some of the most intense bombardment we've ever seen. And even though they're still being told to move to the south, in fact, most people can't get to the south because they have no fuel for their cars. They can't travel. And even in the south, bombardment continues.
Oh, man, I really like the term voiceless.
Well, that's what happens when you're landline people.
No, but what she's really saying is they have no voice. They can't speak. Well, it's not, you know, communicationless. Yeah, using voiceless is a little tricky there.
This last clip is from NTD, just to change the pace a little bit, and it does present kind of a different perspective.
President Biden this morning was briefed about the latest developments in Israel and Gaza. And Israel today announced that it's now expanding its ground operations in Gaza as it prepares for the next stages of its war against Hamas. And the escalating situation also comes as the Pentagon announced that it's now sending about 900 U.S. troops to the Middle East after Iranian-linked militias attacked U.S. bases in the region. And President Biden on Thursday also announced that it's now ordering airstrikes against Iranian-linked targets in Syria. Yeah. And this is what the administration said just hours before the strikes were announced. Watch.
The president said, we will not hesitate to protect our troops and our facilities, but we're going to do it at a time of our choosing and a manner of our choosing.
And amid all this, President Biden today also met with China's top diplomat Wang Yi at the White House amid tense U.S.-China relations. The White House says President Biden emphasized the need for both countries to responsibly manage its relationship and competition and maintain open lines of communication. And just this week, Biden vowed to compete with China. Watch.
China is having their own internal and external difficulties right now. We're going to compete with China on every way according to the international rules, economically, politically, and other ways, but not, I'm not looking for conflict.
What does he mean by physically? We're going to get into boxing matches?
I guess.
He says economically and physically.
It reminds me of the video clip for Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Two Tribes. You got Brezhnev and Reagan batting it out in the ring.
Oh.
Yeah. But what's so interesting is that, you know, here in the United States, our servants in government keep saying, well, you know, any of the Iran's proxies, if it's Iran proxies, you know, any proxies, we just love a proxy war. That, Ukraine is our proxy. And now we're going to use Israel as our proxy. And it's really blatant in the reporting, too, except, you know, that, of course, is, you know, is exactly what the United States is accusing Iran of doing, is using proxies. So it's proxy. It's a proxy war. We are in a proxy war, and they want a third one with Taiwan.
Tonight, a suicide drone believed to be targeting American forces in Iraq shot down by the U.S. just miles short of the base. The attempted attack coming after a pair of U.S. F-16 fighter jets launched retaliatory airstrikes overnight on Iranian-backed militants in Syria. The airstrikes pummeling two munitions facilities that the Pentagon says were linked to a spate of recent rocket and drone attacks on U.S. forces in Iraq and Syria, leaving dozens of service members injured, though all minor injuries. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin saying these Iranian-backed attacks against U.S. forces are unacceptable and must stop. A senior U.S. official adding that Iran's fingerprints were all over the attacks, including a barrage of missiles and drones launched from Yemen last week.
I love that, that term. Did they actually pick up fragments and dust for fingerprints? Or how does that actually work, Lloyd Austin?
A senior U.S. official adding that Iran's fingerprints were all over the attacks, including a barrage of missiles and drones launched from Yemen last week that a U.S. warship shot down over the Red Sea. But the president has stopped short of airstrikes on Iran itself.
Everything President Biden is doing, everything over the last couple of weeks, is designed to prevent escalation, to prevent any other actor from trying to jump in here and deepen and widen this conflict.
No, it's like, first
of all, designed to prevent my ass.
Well, it's even worse. There's another P word.
And Martha Raddatz back with us live tonight. Martha, what are your sources telling you about how concerned the U.S. is with the Israeli ground incursion growing tonight and about other actors in the region who might potentially want to get involved here?
David, it's one of the reasons this retaliatory strike on the Iranian militants was limited, targeting only those weapons facilities. The U.S. wants to punish, not provoke, but the U.S. has made it clear to Iran and its proxies that if the strikes on U.S. forces continue, we will not hesitate to respond again.
Punish, not provoke. Really? I mean, this is, it's just insane. And notice that everyone's saying President Biden, President Biden, President Biden, because if it goes wrong, it's going to be the old guy's fault. President Biden can't put one foot in front of the other. Is he really calling the shots on this?
Seems unlikely.
Now, the U.S.-backed Israeli defense forces are getting a rolling start on Hamas.
Tonight's Israeli artillery barrage began what U.S. officials say appears to be a rolling start to the ground invasion of Gaza. Israeli ground forces have crossed into Gaza before, but only on raids, pulling out at the end of the night.
Pulling out.
A rolling start is different, and retired General Frank McKenzie, former commander of U.S. troops in the Middle East, explains how it works.
This is, I guess, one of the advisors. We're not really involved. We're just advising.
A rolling start. I should mention, this is CBS.
Yes, it is. CIA Broadcasting Systems.
Will be an operation where you put in reconnaissance forces, you sort of gain a feel for the battlefield, and then pull your main forces in behind them.
The Pentagon had sent a Marine general experienced in special operations and urban combat to advise the Israelis on how to do it.
All right, here's my map. Here's how you do it. We're just advising. We have nothing to do with this.
He has now left Israel.
They'll probably have several lines of advance going into Gaza, and Israeli commanders will see where they're having success. The axiom is you reinforce success. Where you're gaining ground, you put more forces in behind it.
It sounds sort of like establishing beachheads inside Gaza.
You should think of it as multiple beachheads all across the front.
And in the underground tunnels, which Hamas could blow up under the feet of Israeli soldiers and make block-by-block fighting even more hellacious. Civilians already suffering under the crushing weight of Israeli bombs will be trapped in the middle, used as human shields by Hamas and seen as potential threats by the Israelis.
Oh, man. Meme war. Human shields. So I hear now that they're thinking of flooding the tunnels.
Well, I still think they're going to gas the tunnels.
Yeah, that is our general thesis.
Well, there's too much. The tunnels, there's too many tunnels to flood. There's not enough water around there. They can't even drink, let alone flood tunnels.
It seems unlikely that they're going to flood the tunnels. No, I think you're right. They're going to gas the tunnels. I think that's against the rules of war, is it not?
Oh, totally.
So, David, I do want to ask you about the U.S. troops who have been targeted in the Middle East. I understand that the U.S. launched some retaliatory strikes. What can you tell us about that?
Yes.
That's right, Nora. F-16s, American Air Force F-16s bombed two Iranian weapons depots in Syria. And it was designed as sending a message to Iran to tell these militias that had been attacking American troops to back off. Since that attack, there has been one more attack on American troops, but the drone was intercepted and no reports of casualties.
They really want it. They really want to do this. These people are insane.
I don't know how they're going to pull it off. There has to be something along the line of there has to be some sort of false flag or, you know, some event, whether it's created or not, even something didn't even have to happen. Just, you know, something like that thing that happened in Vietnam, and just some phony baloney moment that the media laps up and you just believe whatever they are told.
Enter Taylor Swift.
I hate to say what I just thought of regarding Taylor Swift, but
this is exactly what happened with 9/11. Let's blow up something here, blame it on Iran. I hate these people. They're evil. Here's a report on the Syria situation, which is all part of the same setup. It's a setup. We can all see it coming.
Tonight, the Pentagon says Iranian-backed militia groups are at it again, launching another drone attack on a base with Americans, this one in western Iraq. There were no casualties. But it comes just hours after a U.S. show of force intended to stop Iranian-backed attacks against U.S. troops in the Middle East. The U.S. conducting two airstrikes in northeastern Syria overnight, and according to the Pentagon, hitting buildings housing weapons and ammunition. The Pentagon saying the facilities were used by Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and affiliated groups. The U.S. says its strikes are designed to stop the attacks without sparking a regional war.
We absolutely do not want a bigger conflict with Iran. No conflict with Iran.
No, we don't. We don't want a conflict. We don't want a conflict. We don't want anything. No, we don't want to. It's like the Inflation Reduction Act. It's like net neutrality. We don't want a conflict with Iran. Let's get it.
Sparking a regional war.
We absolutely do not want a bigger conflict with Iran, no conflict with Iran, but we will never hesitate to protect our forces.
In the past 10 days, the Pentagon says U.S. forces in Iraq and Syria have come under fire from Iranian-backed militias 20 times, saying 19 troops were diagnosed with traumatic brain injuries as a result, and an American contractor died of a heart attack. And earlier this week, President Biden delivered this blunt warning to Iran's leader.
If they continue to move against those troops, we will respond.
Iran also funds and arms Hamas. And tonight, Israeli officials telling NBC News Iran helped train Hamas terrorists who invaded Israel on October 7th, massacring 1,400 Israelis, including young children and babies. Iran has praised the Hamas terror attack, but denied direct involvement.
How is it? Could not be more clear. It's a setup.
Well, they're still going to need a Gulf of Tompkin kind of thing. The Democrats are the ones that do this the most, and that's what Lyndon Johnson pulled off to get us jacked up about Vietnam. So they're going to have, and we haven't seen one yet. These are all, you know, these little drones floating around.
Skirmishes.
This doesn't accomplish what we're trying to accomplish. So we have to, so something big has to happen.
I'm with you.
But exactly what it is, I'm not that creative.
Well, the Department of Defense did announce today that
they have people, and they also have people that can dream these ideas up, and they can execute them.
I mean, it doesn't seem that hard. We've got ships in the region. That always seems to be a good one.
Ships a good target.
Ships are always a good target.
And by the way, the idea of the Houthis, give me a break, sending these drones. They got problems of their own that they're attacking our ships off in the middle of nowhere I'm not buying any Houthis involvement.
No. The Department of Defense announced the United States is now pursuing a modern variant of the B-61 nuclear gravity bomb. The B-61-13, pending congressional authorization and appropriation. This is, in fact, a modern variant of the only two nuclear weapons we ever dropped, gravity-based. And, of course, it's surgical.
Surgical. Yeah, right.
I'm missing
surgical is like taking a sledgehammer to an operating room.
Surgical. McCain?
Bomb, 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 there we go. Bomb, bomb, Iran. Bomb, 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 Iran.
We had him somewhere. Yeah, they just want to bomb Iran. It's always been the plan. These people.
And I'm sure that plan is very well outlined in the documents that Trump has.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And they've got to do all this stuff quick.
Well, this is the problem. Time's running out. The public is not going to put up with this much longer. They're sick of the Ukraine war. And, you know, they're draining our coffers.
I have a Ukraine clip, which is amazing. It's from PBS.
The fatigue of war was felt across Ukraine today as hundreds of families demanded a cap on mandatory military service. Mothers, wives, and children protested in Kyiv and other cities, pleading for soldiers to be sent home. They said service should be limited to 18 months, which was Ukraine's policy before the war.
I'm here because my husband has been a volunteer since the beginning of the full-scale invasion, and I don't know when I could see him back at home. I live in constant fear for his life. It's nerve-wracking for me.
Ukrainian people are sick of it. They're sick of their men dying.
Yeah.
They're sick of it. They're sick of it. Like, okay, this has been enough. You know, the focus is no longer on us.
And all it's about is the Donbass.
Yeah, let's just start rebuilding. All the money's in. Let's just do that. Bring the contractors in. We've rebelized. Can we just call it already? Zelensky is completely off the stage. Done.
Oh, did you see that clip? A visual clip of him going, you know, the cocaine nose thing.
Yes.
Have you seen that?
Oh yeah.
Well, he's talking about a tell.
Yeah, he's got to be snorting more than ever right now.
Oh, he's got to be. In fact, if he doesn't have a heart attack from it, it's going to be a surprise.
Ooh, there's an interesting way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, for him. Amidst all of this, there's, of course, we still have another faction who was trying to grab media attention, and it was going quite well. We had people, you know, gluing their hands to highways.
the hand gluers. Yeah, those idiots.
The hand gluers. That's a good one. So, you know, we stirred up a new one.
Now, the destruction from the most powerful hurricane to ever hit the Pacific coast of Mexico, Otis, slamming into the coast near a tourist haven as a Category 5 storm. Ginger has more. And Ginger, the way this particular hurricane intensified was startling.
Absolutely.
The models did terrible with it. And I don't.
What? The models did terrible with it? What? What? The models were supposed to believe? What?
Truly. The models did terrible with it. And I don't say that. I don't admit because most of the time they do very well.
I don't admit that because that's not the narrative. Our models are always right.
Truly, the models did terrible with it. And I don't say that. I don't admit because most of the time they do very well. But I want you to watch the clock as this monster approached. At 10 a.m. Tuesday, Otis is a tropical storm. Winds 70 miles per hour. By 10 p.m., winds are 160 miles per hour. So Otis went from a tropical storm to a Cat 5 in just 12 hours, which is something that only a handful of storms have done around the world since records began in the 1960s. And here's the climate connection. That stunningly fast spin up happened in part because of this patch of ocean temperatures at 88 degrees, which is 1.8 degrees Fahrenheit above average.
Oh, no.
Absolute super fuel for a hurricane. We are in El Nino, so we anticipated that we'd have warmer waters in the Pacific. But as our climate notions warm, climate scientists are telling us to expect fewer hurricanes. But when they do happen, they will rapidly intensify because humans, we've really just added some steroids to nature.
Oh, boy. Oh, we've added steroids to nature. Humans are adding steroids.
Did you hear the little gotcha in there?
Well, which one?
Since records began
in 1960s. In the 1960s.
That happened in part because of this patch of ocean temperatures at 88 degrees, which is 1.8 degrees Fahrenheit above average. Absolute super fuel for a hurricane. We are in El Nino, so we anticipated that we'd have warmer waters in the Pacific. But as our climate notions warm, climate scientists are telling us to expect fewer hurricanes. But when they do happen, they will rapidly intensify because humans, we've really just added some steroids to nature.
Oh,
that's the way of putting it.
No, good way of putting it. Good way of getting the climate change angle in there. Yeah. But it got very little play.
Steroids to nature. You're right. It got very little play, which is, must have irked the climate nuts to no end.
Yeah. Here's PBS's version, short.
The devastated resort city of Acapulco, Mexico, was still largely cut off today in the aftermath of a powerful hurricane. People trudged through flooded streets today to find food and water. Stranded tourists were increasingly desperate and blamed a sluggish government response.
I went to the naval base because they said there was a shelter there, but the soldiers just stared at me like I was crazy. They gave us nothing. They told us to go steal from a store so we could have something.
The official death toll remained at 27, but hundreds of people were still looking for missing friends and relatives.
That was a pretty rapid storm that just whipped up there.
Yeah.
Gotta wonder if climate scientists... No, I don't want to say anything. We have earthquake machines. We have weather modification. I don't put it past any of these crazy people. Meanwhile, the EV scam is finally starting to fall apart. This is really, I mean, now it's everywhere. And the smart people, the Toyota, who said, nah, we're not going to go on board with EVs. We had that. We had the Prius. Hybrid, that was pretty good.
Toyota is probably the top engineering automotive maker. They look at the facts. They're engineering oriented. The high quality car. It's unbelievable how good those cars are.
People are finally seeing reality about EV technology. Mr. Toyoda, with a D, told reporters ahead of the Japan Mobility Show in Tokyo this week, speaking in his capacity as the head of the Japan Automobile Manufacturers Association. There are many ways to climb the mountain that is achieving carbon neutrality, he said, while suggesting that consumers are finally waking up from the dreamscape pushed by climate change alarmists that puts EVs on a pedestal and overhypes their benefits while downplaying their drawbacks. I have a boots on the ground from Amazon. You may know that Amazon has a deal with Rivian. They wanted to, their plan was to use Rivian as last mile delivery vehicles to up their ESG score. So this is a boots on the ground producer. He is in the safety division. That's all I'll say about him. And I shall read the boots on the ground report. We're having a summit in the next few weeks to discuss the past performance of the Rivian vehicle and the future prospects of the EV project overall. Since starting the use of EV chargers, manufactured primarily by Siemens, we have had 6 vehicle fires complete with thermal runaway. This is a statistical deviation from what we were expected or told and promised. This had a big impact on how and where we place these charging lots. Could they be inside, close to the building, charge at an offsite, unattended lot? All these questions and more were considered based on what Rivian told us. We have also had problems with mechanics poking around the battery shroud, causing issues with the vehicles. When the vehicle is inoperable, they sit in our lots for hours waiting for a tow. We have stopped development of chargers inside our buildings and are looking at different vans aside from Rivian. Amazon got hoodwinked into believing we could meet our aggressive goals for carbon reduction, but we ended up getting a series of problems we could have expected if we had taken off the green-colored glasses and asked tough questions, expecting solid answers. Amen. Exactly.
Well, they didn't, did they?
No, they didn't. But it's finally happening, and it's going to be very interesting because I don't know how long. It seems like it takes a number of years to get an assembly line geared up, and we've got all these trucks. Oh, here's another one. This, we were just talking about this. Let me open this from the Telegraph. Electric cars risk becoming effectively uninsurable as analysts struggle to put a price on battery repairs. Well, duh. Of course. You're not going to be, you won't be able to get this car insured because it can light your house on fire.
Yeah. And where are you going to put the charger? It has to be in the garage. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have it out in where else. You can't put it in your, where else can you put it? You can't put it out on the street.
No. We don't have the infrastructure, although that is part of the Infrastructure Reduction Act. But these things are just unsafe. And everybody seems to believe the hype, which I would say was mainly started by Elon Musk with the supercharger. No, what was it? What was his battery facility that his brother was going to run? That was going to create better batteries?
Yeah.
Well, we've always been promised better batteries.
And the charge was free. Remember the free charge? You buy the car, you get charged for life. It's free. You don't have to pay anything.
It's free. So for as controversial as she is, Lauren Boebert did a pretty good bit with a spokesperson from the EPA. You know, they're coming now with even more, with even stricter regulations on emissions from cars, which pushes everybody into EV manufacturing mode. This is where it comes from in the United States and around the world. Is, oh, well, you can't have, you have to be able to get 80 miles to the gallon. Ooh, how are we going to do that? Well, okay, might as well go full EV. So she grills this EPA spokesperson. There was showboating, of course. That's what this is all about. But it wasn't bad. And the guy's umana was pretty funny.
Mr. Goffin, are you aware that in temperatures under 20 degrees Fahrenheit, electric vehicles lose nearly half of their charge in their batteries?
Yes.
So in Colorado, where we rely on four-wheel drive vehicles to get around in winter, many of these vehicles will be regulated out of existence under these proposed rules. How much does an electric vehicle battery cost to replace?
I don't know offhand, but you're putting your finger on important issues, which is exactly why the strategy reflected in these rules is to give industry years of lead time.
Well, you're regulating an industry out of existence here, and we're seeing that it's less reliable. In Colorado, it's very common to have temperatures under 20 degrees Fahrenheit, and these batteries will lose some of their charge. Now, I have between $5,000 and $20,000 to replace an electric vehicle's batteries. And prolonged exposure to temperatures under 20 degrees can also compromise the electric vehicle's battery performance as much as 41%. Now, how do you recommend that hardworking families who are struggling to get by absorb these additional costs associated with electric vehicles?
Well, our projection is that by the time these rules go into effect, both the industry and investments like those made in the IRA.
Investment Reduction Act.
Oh, so we're just going to print more money to make up for that. So, I mean, we're seeing a 22% increase in 1 year for the cost of electric vehicles. Even the tires on electric vehicle wear 20% faster. I don't think that the average American taxpayer is looking for another federal government bailout for tires.
Why is that, do you think? I'm sure she has her information correct.
I think it's
somewhere.
The torque. The torque would definitely make the tires wear faster.
Too much torque, because everyone's like, I got lots of torque at 400.
I'm sure they're screeching all the time. this guy's incompetent. This is the problem with some of these bureaucrats. If I was that guy.
Weight is being said in the troll room. Weight, that makes sense. They're heavier.
Weight would have something to do with it.
Makes sense.
I would say, well, we expect the battery technology that you're referring to be so much more improved, because it's being improved almost on a monthly basis.
Oh, yes, I can tell.
It's going to be so much more improved that this will not be an issue by the time this happens.
Well, then she had another one, which was even funnier. And we know that the copper mines are not opening. In fact, they're closing. There's not enough. There will not be enough copper to fulfill all of the needs of an entire electrified fleet amongst the population. And she had some interesting stats on that for this guy.
Now, please name two domestic mines that you support, Mr. Goffman, and that are critical to helping produce the amount of minerals necessary for the electric vehicles you've been praising today.
Well, the information I have is that in just under a year since the IRA was passed, 75 new facilities have been started to...
Domestic mines?
Including domestic mining.
Can you name any that you support?
And I'd be happy to get behind.
So Rosemont mine and the Resolution Copper mine are two mines in Arizona blocked by the environmental extremists and the federal bureaucrats that would produce massive amounts of copper in the United States. The Biden administration has also blocked the Twin Metals mine in northern Minnesota, and Democrats on the Natural Resources Committee oppose all domestic mining. And if we don't mine for these minerals necessary, where are they going to come from? The 40,000 children mining for cobalt in the Congo with their bare hands in these China-owned mines, and then we buy these products from China and somehow feel virtuous about ourselves while they're building some 200 coal-fired energy plants. These rules do not benefit the hardworking Americans that I represent, and I hope that you would reconsider them.
I can't find it yet, but obviously there's a U.S. manufacturing lobby who is working very closely with Ms. Boebert. There, I mean, this has got to be, some nitro-burning gas.
No, yeah, she's not dreaming these questions up.
No, of course not. Of course not. But I just want to know, what is the organization? I mean, is it the U.S. auto manufacturers? Who is it that is lobbying her, that is giving her this information? And how can we support them so we don't get this EV bull crap?
Could be a couple of different groups.
Because
could be a couple of different groups working together and putting questions up for her to use.
Well,
I'm sure she's amenable to anybody who can provide her with gotcha questions. She loves that kind of thing.
Yeah. She's good at it.
Yeah, she's got a good style for that.
Yeah.
But I think more so than Marjorie Taylor Greene, the other extremist, and Taylor Greene is
extremist. You called it. She was your gal. You loved her when she first appeared on the scene.
I didn't say I still don't like her.
Oh, okay. You just called her an extremist.
Although I will say this, I tried to communicate with her once using the Twitter message thing, which was open, and she cut me off.
She blocked you?
I don't know if she blocked me, but she definitely is not interested in communicating.
Well, that's lame.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I don't understand. it must be your approach, because I can't believe that.
It must be my approach.
Everybody can get, what's his face? The colonel who didn't reply to you.
McGregor.
Everybody can get. McGregor's on every. There's producers of our show who have podcasts who are getting McGregor.
Yeah. How come he won't talk to us.
Maybe.
I think it's you.
All righty then. It's your approach. I need to see some of these. You were like, hey, Blondie. But I want to ask you some questions.
Yeah, that'd be Taylor Green. Bober would be offended by that for sure. She's a brunette.
No, but I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene. She wouldn't. I don't know. It must be.
No, Marjorie Taylor Greene. I've never tried to contact. It's Bobert I'm talking about.
Bobert cut you off. Really?
Yeah, Bobert cut me off.
Well, she probably saw you lurking on other networks. Like, oh, it's that guy. It's Mark Pugner.
Well, I don't know.
It's Mark maybe. Pugner. It's Mark Pugner.
Mark trying Pugner.
To maybe it was the wrong bastard. Account. Oh. Then there's another cover-up underway, I'm afraid. A very sad moment for those of us who grew up with the television show Friends. This was the news that came yesterday.
No, we're going to celebrity news. You should play the real news clip.
I'll play, but there's something else. Again, the reporting, it's like high-powered hearing aids. I'm not liking the reporting.
And now, back to real news.
It happened last night. Word of the passing of Matthew Perry.
Hey!
Famed for his role as Chandler Bing in the television series Friends. Apparently from drowning at his home in Los Angeles.
We could do a supercut. Apparently drowned. Apparently from drowning. Why do we not know what happened?
Friends was Perry's most famous role.
Janice, you know, I mean, it's like we're different, you know. I'm like the bing bing bing, you're like the boom boom boom.
But he appeared in any number of TV series and quite a few movies, most often comedies. While on screen, Perry's characters were usually easygoing.
Anyway, we don't have to play the whole clip, but every report is saying apparently from drowning, apparently in a hot tub. Now, normally I'm the first person to warn anyone who is controversial, who has information, to stay away from hot tubs. Stay away from small aircraft. Do not go kayaking in any rivers in Washington, D.C.
Good one.
Very bad, very bad idea. This guy was proud of, and he had a very, very bad addiction to pills, alcohol, I think cocaine as well. He got really sick, and I saw some interviews with him about a year ago, and he released a book about his addiction. When they say apparently from drowning, this guy was vaxxed to the hilt. He was all over social media about how many times he'd been vaxxed.
Oh,
I think this was died suddenly.
Oh, it could be.
That's why they're using the apparently drowned.
Could be a died suddenly, yeah. Well, you know, Hotep's losing some of his buddies. Did you see that tweet by his?
No, our Hotep?
Hotep has lost like at least four, maybe five colleagues. And the way it's described is that they're still, you know, in the prime of their lives. And then he never says died suddenly, but he was lamenting their passing.
Hotep is who you're talking about, not Hotep Jesus, obviously.
No, Hotep, yeah. Hotez.
Yeah, Hotez.
Sorry, I call him Hotep. Hotez. Yeah, and Hotez has been losing colleagues left and right, and he doesn't seem to see what's going on.
Let me guess, long COVID?
No, it just died suddenly stuff.
Wow. Dutch rider Mark Kroeneveld, cyclist, keeled over, age 20, heart attack. Yeah, no surprise there. But Big Pharma is still on the move. The wastewater detection is now in peril. We have been we've been tracking this since we received the link to see all of the wastewater tracking, where they're tracking RSV, COVID, flu, and I think there was one more thing.
Polio for sure.
Well. The tracking is in peril right now. There's a contract.
Why, because it doesn't work or it's meaningless?
No, there's a contract dispute.
Is it either because it doesn't work or is it meaningless? Which of the two?
Well, the firm that had the contracts, BioBot, which is a huge money scam, it looks like they're losing their contract. And the CDC wants to, I think, pull in a subsidiary of Google to do this work. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The fabulous chemists at Google?
Yes. I think they bought some
company. The company known for its chemistry?
Yes. Yeah. After an open bidding process early this year, the CDC decided to replace its longtime contractor, BioBot, with Verily, a subsidiary of Google's parent company, starting in September. But the transition is on pause. And while the government...
Verily,
yeah.
Let's look that up.
You look them up and I'll read the rest of this paragraph. But the transition's on... that the transition is on pause, and while the Government Accountability Office hears BioBot's appeal, Verily can't do its work, according to a company email obtained by Politico. Bradley White, the principal scientist for Verily Wastewater Lab, said the company's ready to go. With much of its infrastructure already built, we're committed to working with the CDC to advance the goals of the testing program. But I don't see why they can't. I guess because they just don't have the contract yet. Weren't they doing testing? Didn't they have... I remember them from the COVID days. There was something else they were doing.
Well, I just read from their site. Closing the gap between research and care. We deliver new data, evidence, and software solutions that accelerate clinical research and enable more personalized care for a bridge to a healthier future.
Nice. Verily was born as a moonshot. Oh, maybe that's where they're from.
From what?
Verily was born from a moonshot at Google X to tackle health's biggest challenges by developing tools, services, and software to help customers across the healthcare system.
The moonshot, by the way, is an old term used in Silicon Valley that is faded, thank God.
Mm.
And I find it offensive.
I think they initially were doing glucose monitoring devices, clinical grade device with customizable features to collect data in clinical trials. Yeah. Well, that's what we want. More
Verily Roundtable, innovating in healthcare with diversity by design. So they're massive diversity. So the people that are involved here, there's a black guy, there's a Hispanic, there's a Chinese, there's a Vietnamese.
Yeah.
There's a, looks like, I don't know, a couple of European looking, but from ethnic Europeans.
Yes.
So, okay. So I don't know what that's. This sounds like something to get to check some box.
Well,
some ESG box.
No, of course. I have some more big pharma news. There's a lot, actually. Anthony Fauci will be awarded the prestigious Ethics Prize.
Yes, I love this.
The Ethics Prize. It's like, hey, man, I'm under fire. Give me an award. Let's do something.
Yeah, beautiful.
The Inamori Ethics Prize, an annual honor given to international leaders whose actions and influence have greatly improved the condition of humankind. Oh, yeah. That's great. That is just, that's when, like President Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize when he was droning people every Tuesday.
Yeah, well, he got it before he became president to drone people.
Did he get it before?
Yes, he got it just before. Based on his bullshit speeches.
And then I think you were right. We had the crazy pilot story that he was on shrooms.
Yeah,
which we deduced was probably the reason that was hyped up is because of the practice of psilocybin. Same week, which was last week, psychedelic mushrooms hit the market in Oregon in the New York Times. So
yeah, they don't want it.
They do not want it. The pharmaceutical industry does not want you microdosing anything but their goodies.
Yeah.
And from this very podcast in 2012, now finally, it's only 11 years later, scientists unveil world's first experimental cocaine addiction vaccine. Told you it was coming.
It's not a vaccine. Talk about liberalizing the definition.
Well, you know, the definition changed, as we know. It's not a panacea, though, because it all it really does.
It's just another interesting question, as far as I'm concerned. Why would anybody that's a cokehead want this vaccine?
Why would you want
to stop?
They're
using coke because they like it.
Why would you want to stop?
Why would you? You know, I love this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I got no problems. What's your problem?
It makes no sense.
Well, they still, now this is a little jumping a little bit ahead of the game because they've only tested it on coke addicted mice so far. Humans is next. That's coming up. The vaccine is made with chemical compounds designed in the lab rather than biological ingredients, meaning it would be less expensive to produce than cocaine, than many vaccines, and would not have to be stored at cold temperatures. So, yeah, no, I agree. It's like, if you don't want to do cocaine, stop doing cocaine. You don't need a shot for it, I don't think. But I don't know. What do I know?
It's not really technically addictive.
Correct.
You don't have the shakes. Correct. So you don't get...
Correct. It's,
So you just stop. Yeah, you want to stop using it, you stop using it.
Give it to
Zelensky. And plenty of people stop using it.
When they mature.
Yeah, when they get a little older and realize this is not a good idea.
It's expensive. Now to your RSV questions. You said you never heard of RSV before it popped up with this vaccine. Lots of moms disagree because moms have heard about this for at least a decade, but that's neither here nor there, but certainly not for old people, etc. So we have two boots on the ground reports. First one, after 18 years in paramedicine, I have never seen an adult be transported to the hospital as a result of RSV. It is not a virus that affects adults or the elderly on any scale worth even considering a vaccination. However, RSV can be dangerous and small children needs to be taken seriously, and it can result in severe airway complications and death if not treated appropriately. Considering an RSV vaccine for children is less ridiculous than COVID vax, but still ridiculous as its efficacy, I can only assume is as helpful as the flu shot and COVID jab. Second boots on the ground. You played a clip on the last show about a supposed shortage of RSV shots. I can confirm that it was total BS.
Huh?
Really? What? You're kidding me. I went with my pregnant wife to her doctor appointment yesterday and asked the doctor what her thoughts were about the new RSV vaccine that they're giving to pregnant women. I like to ask all our doctors questions like this to see if they have enough spine to tell us the truth. Yeah, that's a producer.
Yeah, it's a good practice.
Exactly. The doctor responded by telling us that she doesn't know how much about it, but that no one is getting it. She has a couple of high-risk patients that she recommended it for, but their insurance refused to pay for it. The shot. Oh, this is interesting. The shot costs over $1,000.
And what?
Yeah, I didn't know this. And insurance companies won't pay for it because the RSV risk is so low, they'll take their chances having to pay for the treatment if someone gets RSV. And this producer also says RSV can be dangerous to infants, but it is very treatable. Seems like there's a pissing match going on between pharma and insurance companies, or possibly the insurance companies are waiting for the government to pony up and start paying for the vaccines again. Either way, this shortage is out there just to gin up some demand for these things. Thank you, producers. Exactly. Our producers are the best.
Today's Boots on the Ground Day.
Yeah.
On the No Agenda Show.
Yeah, for sure. And big tech, while we're on big, The Verge, you probably saw it. Elon Musk gives ex-employees 1 year to replace your bank. Oh, really now? In an all-hands call on Thursday, he told employees that Elon Musk wants X to be the center of your financial world, handling anything in your life that deals with money. He expects those features to launch by the end of 2024. It's what he told his employees in the all hands on Thursday. Quote, when I say payments, I actually mean someone's entire financial life. Apparently, The Verge has audio of the meeting. I wanted that audio. If it involves money, it'll be on our platform. Money, securities, whatever. So it's not like just send $20 to my friend. I'm talking about like you won't need a bank account. And ex-CEO Linda Yaccarino said the company sees this becoming a full opportunity in 2024 and says, quote, he would blow my mind if we don't have that rolled out by the end of next year. And he's working exactly what I said. He's working on money transmission.
Exactly what we both said. We've known this is going on.
Yeah, but everyone else is still hung up on him being a social media network. He doesn't care. It's the least important thing to him. That's why
he wants to implement a couple of the items that PayPal wouldn't do specifically. He has ideas that PayPal wouldn't do. And so he's going to do them, showing that they're wrong. He's got a grudge against PayPal.
Also, it's something that all tech companies in America have always wanted. They always wanted, because it's different in... Is SoftBank an actual bank? The tech investors, are they a bank as well?
No, okay. They've never been a bank. They saw it refers to software bank. So in other words, they bank software.
Oh, okay.
SoftBank.
But WeChat, what is WeChat?
WeChat, yeah.
They do free payments. I think that Elon, I mean, I still think he's going to use the FedNow system, which will enable this zero cost transactions.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, that would be the way to go. Yeah.
If you can.
That'd be so fun. And then he brings in the social credit score, where he'll be perfect for it. I'm thinking.
I think he'd be against it personally.
Really? He'd be against it?
I think so.
I'm not so sure.
He's a libertarian.
Maybe. All right, what else you got?
I got a series of clips I picked up from Australia's 60 Minutes.
Oh, they have a 60 Minutes there as well. Is it worth only 20 minutes in U.S. minutes?
No, that would be in Canada.
Oh, so Australia's pretty bad. Australia's like 60.
That's true. No, but the Canada joke refers to a show they had, which was This Hour Has.
This Hour Has 30 minutes or whatever.
20 minutes or whatever it was.
Yeah.
The 60 Minutes show, I have always had high regard for it until these clips.
Oh boy.
I didn't realize that they're just as sleazy as everybody else.
Is this on Sky News or is this their Australia?
No, 60 Minutes is ABC. It's America. It's not Sky's not even on it. It's not ABC. Sky's different. It's different.
Yeah, network. No, but ABC, Australian Broadcasting Corporation.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you remember about 5 or 6 years ago where I just kind of liked busting the media for the following idea? A presenter comes on and says, and he hated his mom. And then they cut to a clip where the guy says,
I hate my mom.
Yeah, mom was a good gal. You know, she was who she was.
Oh, yeah, vague. What do you remember the context a couple of years back?
The context was always they say one thing, the presenters say thing, and then the clip
says something
either
else.
Disproves it or doesn't confirm it. This generally doesn't confirm it. So they're making all kinds of assertions and using clips to supposedly confirm the assertion, but the clip never does it.
Yeah, that happens a lot. Yes.
So that it was always a complaint of mine. I haven't seen it as bad as it was with this particular presentation. Now, this is about this guy, Anthony Pratt, who was a billionaire. He's the third richest guy in Australia, and he became buddies with Trump.
Oh, I'm not familiar with this. Okay.
When Trump was president, and supposedly it was kind of the whole thing was broken out when ABC News David Muir said Trump has been yakking about nuclear secrets, and he's been telling this guy Anthony Pratt about it, and then he's a bad guy. And so, okay, well, what's that all about? So here we go. Now, this is I call them the Pratt tapes, because it seems as if these are all short clips of the first one. It seems as if they found some clips of Anthony Pratt, or somebody stole some clips from him talking to one of his buddies about Trump And they make an assertion, and then Pratt says something has got nothing to do with anything. And they go on and on and on with this, and they bring in heavy hitters. They got John Bolton. They bring all these things in. It's like a hit job against Trump, but there's no there. There's nothing here. Let's start with this. I got a lot of, there's seven of these clips. But they all make a point. Let's go with clip one.
Between Pratt and Trump was largely unremarkable. That is, until 2 weeks ago, when the American ABC network reported something strange.
The former president shared potentially sensitive information about...
Okay, I just have to stop. This Flight of the Bumblebees type music is fantastic. Jump, 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 jump. This is about Big Bad Trump. Bum, bum, jump, jump, yeah. Jump.
Being strange.
The former president shared potentially sensitive information about America's nuclear submarines while at Mar-a-Lago.
Donald Trump was accused of not being able to shut up in the months after he left the White House, allegedly disclosing classified information about America's nuclear submarine fleet to his Aussie friend.
In all, Pratt described what the former president had told him with at least 45 others, including six journalists, 11 of his company's employees, 10 Australian officials, and three former Australian prime ministers.
In typical fashion, when the news broke, Trump denied any wrongdoing. But tonight, there's a startling twist.
Startling!
So he's got this ability to say outrageous things non-stop.
We've obtained secret recordings, which reveal what Anthony Pratt thought about Donald Trump during his tenure in the Oval Office, and what Trump thought about the world.
Wow. Why is ABC doing this?
I would like to know myself. They did bring some guy. I mean, this is a long report. It's like a half hour. I only picked up a few clips of it. And it seems as though they got, it seemed to be like an effort to bash Trump. But this is a hit job completely,
yeah.
Even though it's really poorly executed, I think. Except I don't think the Australians are familiar enough with John Bolton or some of these other stooges.
Maybe this is a Five Eyes thing, so we can get it out on social media, and make sure that people like you see it.
This has Five Eyes written all over it.
Yeah.
But I was under the impression that they were that Trump had compromised himself and he was going to be the next president, and they weren't trying to screw him over anymore. So there's maybe something changed. I don't know. But let's listen. Here's an example of what they're talking about with clip two.
He's outrageous. He just says whatever the f*** he wants, and he loves to shock people.
It's clear from the tapes, Pratt believed Trump loved to brag.
Wow, this is groundbreaking, the reporting here. It's clear from the tapes, Trump likes to brag.
Now, if you listen to that again, that's a very short clip. Where in this 10 seconds, they have Pratt yakking away, and tell me where he even uses the word brag.
He's outrageous. He just says whatever the f*** he wants, and he loves to shock people.
It's clear from the tapes, Pratt believed Trump loved to brag.
Yeah, he loves to shock people. He says whatever the F he wants.
He says what he wants, and he likes to shock people. That is not bragging.
But even though they have no evidence, I think everyone kind of knows this. Biggest crowd ever.
We know
you
like to brag, but they can't even get it out of this guy.
Orange!
I mean, the funny thing is, yes, it's true. We probably know this.
Wow, this is
but
shocking.
They can't prove it with this guy's, with these secret tapes. Let's go to number three.
And it seems no subject was off limits. Pratt describes a conversation he had with the president in late 2019, shortly after the commander-in-chief had ordered a military strike against Iraq.
I hadn't even heard it. It hadn't even been on the news. He said, I just bombed Iraq today.
According to Pratt, even after that, Trump wouldn't be quiet. He went on to repeat details of the private phone call he just had with a furious Iraqi leader.
He said, I just bombed Iraq today. And the president of Iraq called me up and said, you just leveled my city.
How is that refusing to be quiet?
It's so Trump also. Dude, I just bombed Iraq and the guy called me and said, hey, man, you flattened my city. Oh, God.
So they okay. So we're still getting nothing from this.
Nothing.
So let's well, bring
also,
in.
Also, hold on, Shocker. Trump is never quiet. Shocker. I don't know what to say. I don't know what this reporting is unveiling all kinds of new things about the former president.
Yeah, this Anthony Pratt really likes to blab. So let's go to clip four where they can't get enough out of the Pratt secret tapes, and they bring Bolton in.
And he said, well, I said to him, okay, what are you going to do about it?
Are you surprised that Anthony Pratt got such access to President Trump?
I think Trump was trying to impress him. Well, you may be a billionaire, but I'm a multi-billionaire, and besides, I'm president, and I know things that you don't. I do think that's very typical Trump behavior.
Donald Trump's former national security advisor, John Bolton, is disappointed but not surprised. His old boss might have shared non-public information about military action or the private response from Iraq's leader. But he says it was stupid and potentially dangerous.
Well, if the disclosure is after the event has taken place, nonetheless, there may still be operational reasons as pilots or personnel on the ground get out of danger. And that's why the announcement of military strikes often is delayed for some period of time so that we can be sure that those who carried it out are back safe home.
This has got to be, so totally, I agree with you, Five Eyes. This is some kind of setup that, you know, that maybe it comes right back to the Iran plans. I can feel it. I can almost taste that has something to do with it.
Maybe it could be. Yeah. I know that they brought Bolton in to say, just make stuff up. He says, well, you know, you do it this way and that way because, you know,
yeah, you Bolton, want to protect everybody. Yeah.
Who's a big phony. So let's go to clip five.
In another conversation, Pratt says Trump told him about an infamous phone call he made to the leader of Ukraine.
Ah, perfect.
He wanted President Zelensky to investigate the foreign business dealings of Joe Biden's son, Hunter, in the hope of causing harm to his political rival. Trump's boast was that he could and should have been much tougher.
Yeah, and Trump said, you know, that Ukraine phone call, that was nothing compared to what I usually do. And he said, that Ukraine phone call, that's nothing compared to what we usually talk about.
So who is this Australian businessman? He's billionaire and, oh my Lord. It looks like they made his hair out of Trump's face and Trump's hair out of his face.
When the stories alleging Trump had leaked classified information to Pratt were first broadcast a few weeks ago, both men were ridiculed.
Authorities were afraid that Pratt might have told someone else, but he didn't. He didn't tell someone else. He told some 45 else.
But John Bolton says it's the former president, often disparagingly known as the leaker in chief, who is solely responsible.
Trump doesn't have a filter between his brain and his mouth. And so the concern that reveal classified information to a foreigner, even an ally, but a private citizen, struck many people as entirely believable.
Disclosing details of conversations with foreign leaders to an Australian billionaire, could that ever be appropriate?
Well, the president can basically say whatever he wants to anybody and can declassified, classified information. It's a question so much of illegality as of prudence and competence to be president.
Prudence. So he admits, and this is like, you know, you're 10 minutes in at this point. He admits, well, you know, this is the he can say whatever he wants and he can declassify whatever he wants. So what's the fuss?
This baffling to me. Other than riling up people who watch stuff online. I'm sure it was spread far and wide.
So let's go with this frustration, the clip six.
And I think when you add all of that up over a four-year period, it could be very substantially damaging.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't.
You got to add it all up together. You see, it's cumulative. Then it's potentially very damaging.
Very substantially damaging.
To such supposedly good buddies, though, the secret recordings we've uncovered reveal frustrations in the relationship.
Oh, no.
On the tapes, Anthony Pratt admires Trump's ruthlessness while savaging his ethics.
He knows exactly.
Hold on, stop it. he said the premise is we're going to hear about his frustration with the relationship.
Yes.
And I'm going to assure you that is not what we hear. We hear just some random commentary about Trump from this guy, from this Anthony guy.
From this report. I need a backgrounder. How did they obtain this recording? What is this recording? That
never said. Never said.
Oh, okay.
It's somebody who obviously had his phone recorder on or something, recorded a chat with
him.
Was
basically this billionaire boasting about all this stuff. So it's a boast against a boast about a boast.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
And somehow it's, and the thing is, there's nothing revelationary about it. And this particular next comment that he's supposedly frustrated, and you're going to hear where they kind of bury the lead, because there's actually a funny quote in here that they could have gone with and made some and gotten some hay with, and we'll explain when it happens. But there's nothing about him being frustrated at all.
Recordings we've uncovered reveal frustrations in the relationship. On the tapes, Anthony Pratt admires Trump's ruthlessness while savaging his ethics.
He knows exactly what to say and what not to say so that he avoids jail, but gets so close to it that it looks to everyone like he's breaking the law. Like, he won't go to someone and say, I want you to kill someone. He'll say, he'll send someone to tell someone to kill someone.
What? Trump has long been a show-off.
So I'm laughing for two reasons. One, of course, there was nothing about frustration in that clip other than, hey, this guy's smart. Two, that's exactly how you write. You make sure that you have an out on everything you write. You're so good at it. You're like the Trump of the written word.
Well, the funny thing is that particular clip and the whole thing that guy says, which has got nothing to do with frustration at all, really kind of contradicts the Bolton comment that Trump has no filter between his brain and his mouth, which is obviously not the case.
He knows exactly what he's saying.
And so Bolton's full of shit. We know that. And this report is just so dubious. But here we go. This is the last of the collection.
Let's see. This is 7. Yeah.
But if Pratt is to be believed, he often took things too far when it came to his wife, Melania.
Melania, who was sitting next to him at dinner, he said, I asked Melania to walk around the pool in a bikini so all the other guys could get a look at what they were missing. Then Melania said back to him, I'll do that when you walk around with me in your bikini.
Okay.
Okay, the premise of this one was that he belittled and did this and that to Melania in public, is the thesis. And then they play a clip. Again, this is the clip contradicts what they just said. In fact, it sounds like Melania was the smart mouth.
Had the upper hand. Yeah, show your butt, fatso.
Yeah.
It sounds like they have a healthy relationship.
Sounds very typical to me, but it belied another premise they present, and then they play a clip which does not back them up. So what's wrong with these reports? What's wrong with ABC 60 Minutes in Australia, and why are they doing this? I'm very suspect when I run into this kind of thing where I could do this and find. This is not one example. I have 7 examples of them basically lying to their audience.
Mm.
Why?
Well, you're asking the wrong
guy. You may be right. It may have something to do with, you know, the Iran papers.
That's the only thing I can think of. And this guy, you know, he doesn't seem like he would be real. Just, I don't know. Why this guy? This guy has an interesting, you know, he funds all kinds of left-leaning stuff. He's not necessarily a right-wing Trump guy, from what I can tell, funding Planned Parenthood. But Australia, I guess. I don't know. I'd like our Australians to weigh in.
Come on, tell us what's going on with this bull crap. Now, what happened to 60 Minutes?
They're looking for a story. I mean, maybe they need a good, some event. They need an event over there. They need something to happen so they have something to report on. But when you're doing Trump stuff like this, you're being used.
Yeah, they're being used.
Well, I have a short Trump clip, and it's from PBS.
Elitist Voices of America. This is NPR. Or PBS.
And here we go.
A state judge in New York ordered Ivanka Trump to testify in her father's civil fraud trial. Yeah. Judge Arthur Engoron ruled she has relevant information on whether former President Trump overstated his wealth to secure loans and deals. The judge also set November 6th for Mr. Trump to begin giving his own testimony.
Aw, they're going to make Ivanka testify?
We have a slightly different version of that clip.
Okay.
And I think this is from NTD. It might be from... Let's find out. This is Ivanka Trump testifying.
Will Ivanka Trump testify against her father?
Well, let's do it properly. Hold on a sec. If it's going to be NTD...
This is NTD.
Will Ivanka Trump testify against her father? A New York judge may soon find out after ordering her to testify in the civil fraud case. NTD's legal correspondent Arlene Richards has more.
Ivanka Trump was unsuccessful in her attempt to dodge a subpoena issued in the New York civil fraud case. Judge Arthur Engoron on Friday said she does have to testify. An appellate court previously dismissed her from the case, saying the claims against her were too old. Her attorney argued that she shouldn't now be forced to appear. Engoron responded that the senior Trump's daughter has clearly availed herself of the privilege of doing business in New York. But Engoron said she won't have to testify before next Wednesday, giving her time to appeal his decision.
Oh, okay. Well, that was very different.
Yeah. It was better. You wonder better. Why I get NTD clips.
Much better. That's crazy. It's completely hair on fire reporting. Interesting. Well, it's clear the media is very worried about him. Everything is going to be about Trump one way or the other, or about voting against Trump, voting for, Palestine, whatever. All of it is coming to fruition. It's going to be a very tiring year, 2024, for you and
yes,
I.
Yes,
it's going to be very tiring. Very
especially
tiring.
If Biden insists on running.
I loved your newsletter. I love the summation. Let me see if I can grab that real quick.
What did I say?
Well, you were boasting about us, like Trump. Let me see. You were like it was like a Trump boast. No, it was. But when I read it, I was like, wow. Oh, I'm now unsubscribed. Why am I? Someone unsubscribed me?
You unsubscribed yourself by accident.
I don't think so. Here, this is it. Tomorrow's show, 1603, ends our two-week celebration of show 1600 and the 16th anniversary of the No Agenda podcast. This is what I liked. A show that has taken a contingent of producers and followers through three presidents, two pandemics plus Zika, a vaccine scandal, climate gate, two presidential impeachments, a ginned up insurrection, numerous assassinations, two wars and counting, various international scams, World Economic Forum insanity such as bug eating as the key to future sustenance, transmaoism and the rise of queer nation, etc., etc. It's all rather remarkable.
That's like love series.
But it's good. Yes, absolutely. It's so true. And I'll add to that the migration replacement, which is just a reminder. It's, this is not replacement theory. This is a United Nations document that set out a very clear plan for what is taking place in Western Europe and the United States. And in the United States, the only problem we don't need, they say, it's a broken immigration system. No, we have laws. The problem is we have agencies that interpret laws or take executive orders, and the executive order is an Obama throwback catch and release. That is why people are being caught, stopped at the border, and then released to go on their merry way. And here's your paperwork, here's your cell phone, here's your debit card, and make sure you come back in 4 years when we have space for you for your hearing. That's basically what's happening. And now, people are, hey, you're like... my family was bussed up to Chicago. I want to go to Chicago. I want to go to New York. I want to go to all these cool places. New York, New York. You can make it there. You can make it anywhere. But there is a real problem. And that is that we are running out of human resources. And this is what the evil cabal, the evil in the cabal has done, is made everybody afraid to have children because, climate change. If not, let's make sure you can't have children, or we'll pretend you can have children by becoming someone who can have children when you're not. I mean, it's all a part of what seems to be a very grand scheme. And now the unthinkable, Italy has had zero childbirths in 3 months' time.
What? The whole country?
The whole country.
No.
Yes.
I don't believe that's possible. I think that's a bogus report. I don't think it's statistically possible.
Well, I mean, I can't refute your. I mean, it's just a report that I have. I mean, Japan is on the same.
Where did this report come from?
Well, it came from a Medium post. Obviously. Italy's dearth of babies is considered a national emergency. Fixing the problem was a prominent policy pledge by Giorgia Meloni ahead of last year's election, which saw her become the country's first woman prime minister. Last year, Italy recorded more than 12 deaths for every 7 births, and the resident population fell by 179,000 to 58.85 million. It's from ISTAT, I-S-T-A-T. A major factor is the reduction in the aging of the female population in the 15 to 49 age group, conventionally considered reproductive. The Institute, it comes from the Institute. The fertility rate edged down to 1.24 children per woman from 1.25 in 2021. They have a graph here that is from the Eurostat. So, but it's just a lead in for me to this next clip, which is about Massachusetts. And it's really phenomenal to hear how NPR is reporting on the crisis they are having. As we knew quite a while ago, that they were already filling up, and they were unbooking previously booked hotel rooms from some of our producers, saying, no, sorry, you can't have this because we need to have...
People wanting to have a wedding and having to plan way in advance and then putting up a big event for some date that they got confirmed. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So and they had booked, like a block of rooms, which is what you do for a wedding. And this is what a pain in the butt that is to have to change that, which is almost impossible, probably. So the hotel would be considered a provider. And why does the hotel do this? Because they get more money. That's just a fact. You think the Roosevelt Hotel, that's $60 a night, you think that they're getting $60 a night per hotel room? No. We know from the Dutch.
They're getting top dollar.
We know from the Dutch family, where they're suing their own family member for scamming money they thought they should have gotten with so much money floating around for asylum seekers. Or as this report will say, migrants. But let's just call it what it is. People who have entered the country illegally, were caught or not, and released. It's NPR, so expect the worst.
The Massachusetts Family Shelter System will only guarantee shelter for another few days. Governor Moore Healey says the system is almost full. Starting next Wednesday, the state tells advocates that families seeking shelter will be placed on a wait list.
Now, just to make this understood, the family shelter system is for Massachusetts families who, for whatever reason, become homeless. It is meant for American residents, which includes lots of, in fact, we are an immigration country, lots of legal migrants, immigrants who have come to this country. And if you fall on hard times in Massachusetts, they help you out, which is really nice. There is a net there for you, a safety net. It's for families who are here and who are either born here or immigrated here legally.
WBUR's Gabrielle Emmanuel joins me now to explain what this new system might look like. Good morning.
Hi.
Okay.
Hi. Right there.
Hi.
Hi.
I can't believe these jamokes. Hi.
Hi.
Look like. Good morning.
Hi.
I just got to play it one more time. Good morning. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
Massachusetts has had a right to shelter law in place for 40 years. How did we get to this point where the system is hitting capacity?
Oh, how could it be?
Yeah, so the family shelter population has more than doubled in the past year. There are over 7,200 families in the system as of this morning. This growth is due in part to a long-time housing crisis and also to a substantial increase in migrants moving here.
Migrants moving here? the audacity of these people to put it this way. Migrants moving here, being flown in by, you know, we had a huge, I got it. I'll tell the story after this clip.
The upshot is our unique state-funded shelter system is basically at a breaking point. Officials say they're running out of space and money. But still, a wait list is a pretty dramatic break from the past.
And what do we know about how this new shelter wait list will actually work?
Yeah, so yesterday, state officials briefed.
How is that an upshot? I don't understand. What is this millennial, this Zoomer maybe telling me?
This growth is due in part to a long time housing crisis and also to a substantial increase in migrants moving here. The upshot is our unique state funded shelter system is basically at a breaking point.
How is that an upshot? Am I misunderstanding upshot?
No, I don't know. It sounds fine to me, but the fact that the word's being used at all is kind of interesting because I've never used that word.
She's saying the upshot, which to me would mean the upside. The upshot.
It never meant up. Let's.
Oh, okay. Okay, please. All right. Thank you.
I do not believe that's what it means. I think it means the conclusion or something along those lines.
Consult the book of knowledge.
Mission. Upshot. Is the final or eventual outcome or conclusion, as I thought, of a discussion, action, or series of events. Hmm. So it's the conclusion. So you can say an in conclusion kind of thing is what it means. It doesn't have anything to do with a relative good or bad, which is what you kind of thought.
Well, I've used it
because of the word up. I can see where you'd come up with that. Yes. But no, I think it's used correctly.
Curses.
The upshot is our unique state-funded shelter system is basically at a breaking point. Officials say they're running out of space and money. But still, a wait list is a pretty dramatic break from the past.
And what do we know about how this new shelter wait list will actually work?
Yeah, so yesterday, state officials briefed advocates and providers. So here's what we know so far. First, families fleeing domestic violence and those with medical needs will be prioritized on the wait list.
Okay, medical needs can be very, like, I'm tired from walking across the Rio Grande. It could be all kinds of things.
So if you're in your third trimester of pregnancy, you'll get priority. Same if you have medications that need to be refrigerated, things like that. Next, we know that the family welcome centers will be pivoting from serving new arrivals to serving folks on the wait list.
This sounds like V. New arrivals. Remember that series V?
One where they were reptiles eating rabbits?
Yes, V. And the newlings, what are they called?
I forgot the term. You know, I never watched that arrivals. So much, but...
Yeah.
They did have a lot of cool usages that they created.
Yeah. Oh, V.
New arrivals.
Were they called the visitors?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't remember. Somebody in the, you know, this is the moment where we have a troll room.
New arrivals. The troll room did it. The new arrivals. Okay. The new arrivals. That's right.
See, you'll get priority. Same if you have medications that need to be refrigerated, things like that. Next, we know that the family welcome centers will be pivoting from serving new arrivals to serving folks on the wait list. This means connecting them to resources and providing diapers and formula, things like that. And finally, the state says it's asking federal officials to set up large congregate settings for families waiting for a shelter spot.
Large congregate settings. You know what that is code for? Tents. Large congregate settings is tents. They're going to get federal tents.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. That's exactly what it has to mean.
Tents.
Providing diapers and formula, things like that. Sure. And finally, the state says it's asking federal officials to set up large congregate settings for families waiting for a shelter spot. But this is just a request. The state says that as families exit shelter, new families can take over those vacant units.
I got to look that up. Large congregate settings. Large congregate.
No, it's got to be like, homeless encampments.
Well, that's what they're doing in Chicago. So that must be must be what it is. Large congregate settings.
Well, so there's a story going around. I don't know. But
yeah.
It's hard to find clips about it, but there's a few. You find them on podcasts. that a lot of these people are coming in with this weird looking credit card that the United Nations is handing out, that group run by Pope, that Pope woman.
Yeah, IOM, sure.
That they go down to Central America and then they grab a group of these people and give them these credit cards, which are loaded with money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Haul them up to the United States and say, go for it. And then you will refill the card when you're up here. And then they never get the card refilled. They're roaming around bitching and moaning about these useless credit cards, which they've used all the money up on. Kind of things going on somehow. I don't know.
Yes, but they have centers in South America. There's yes, podcasts, videos.
This is a horrible situation that needs to be corrected immediately.
Yeah. I mean, Amy Pope is all over this, man. You know, she had the hottest ticket in Geneva, the hottest event. Everybody was dancing, showing art. And making sure.
Can you imagine the art?
No, I watched hours of it. I've seen the art. I mean, this, I could clip so much, but a lot of these people are unintelligible because they're speaking English as a second language. It's not appropriate for clips. But oh, the whole thing is, it's crazy. And you know, we had something happen here. We have a medical center. There's a lot of poverty in Fredericksburg. I'm learning, which is
now,
good.
Now, is this a story you put off?
Yes, this is a story I put off.
Okay.
So Fredericksburg has poverty. We also have gangs. But, you know, Fredericksburg is trying to figure out what it's supposed to be. You know, oh, we're the next Napa. Oh, we're the next Aspen. But really what we are is a place for bridesmaids to go drink and puke in the restaurants and walk around because we have open container laws on the streets, which is the first thing I'm changing when I'm mayor. Very bad policy.
Well, they have that in New Orleans. Have you been complaining?
Have you been to Bourbon Street?
Yeah.
Recently?
Within the last few years.
No, but it's become horrible. Same with 6th Street in Austin. No. This is not good. There are wineries now that won't even take reservations over 6 because they know it's going to be bridesmaids. And all they do is come here, party. They don't really, you know, they get a B&B. It's a mess. It's a mess.
And you're blaming the bridesmaids?
I'm blaming the fact that
I think it's fine to blame them if they're responsible. Yes. They're
blaming
irresponsible
women
that get together, they go hiking together, and it's horrible.
No, the hiking is good, man. What are you talking about? You trying to get me in trouble? Shh. I did some of my best work when Tina was hiking. Be quiet. it's a problem, but that's not the problem I'm talking about. But because it's a tourist destination, the one publication we have here, the Fredericksburg Radio Flyer Gazette Post, whatever it's called, you know, they're always like, oh, look at this cute little thing we have here. Oh, look at what happened at Marktplatz. They don't report on the crime, don't report on the poverty. There's homeless. There's actually.
What's the population of this? Like 8,000?
15,000.
Oh, that's higher than I thought.
Gangs live here, but they live here because, you know, everyone's left alone. They can go do their gang stuff in Kerrville or wherever they want to go to do their gang stuff. Yeah, I know the cops. I know exactly what's going on. But then there's one nonprofit, small, and they provide healthcare services to poor people, residents of Fredericksburg. And they, I guess, an outfit from San Antonio called Justice for Immigrants, could it be more polarizing, posted on Facebook, yeah, you know, if you want some legal advice, I'll be at the center here, and you can see me on Thursday at 6 o'clock. Now, the thinking was that, of course, there are people here who have been here illegally for decades. That's no secret. But the way it was interpreted, and it's important to people's health, so I kind of get that. Then it's not operating here, but the way that was interpreted, oh my God, Laura Logan tweeted this, everybody flipped out. This is becoming a magnet. People will get legal services here in Fredericksburg. It is so polarizing what's going on. Something is going to break. It's really bad.
It's going to result in a shootout.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Shootout. Well, okay. Now, before we take a break, we know that Bobby the Op has announced that he is running as an independent. Very unfortunate timing of his announcement.
Yeah, well, it
could not be much worse.
It could have been done. I mean, the whole thing could be just to keep his announcement under wraps. I mean,
possibly
to obfuscate his announcement that all this happened.
Well, possibly. Now, I'm going to continue on the thinking that he is an op, just for a moment here. Along with this announcement, just before it, and I don't think we talked about it maybe briefly, but he replaced his campaign manager, Dennis Kucinich.
Yep, got rid of him.
And we called that replacing with his daughter-in-law, Amaryllis,
CIA spook.
Amaryllis Fox Kennedy, who married, remarried, I think, one of his sons, Robert F. Kennedy III. So the thinking that we've had is, well, that are you okay? You need a lozenge?
I need some water. I'm going to, hold on.
Yeah, open something up there, will you?
Let me open some. I got it right here. It's been sitting here. I can have this.
Okay, what are you drinking?
I went back to Gross Out and bought another 12-pack or 24-pack, whatever it was, of Polar Plain Seltzer.
Plain
100% natural, by the way. I don't know what. How can something be carbonated and be natural?
It comes out of the ground like
that. How does that work?
Don't you know that? It pops out of the ground carbonated.
There is actually, there are a couple of springs that go through carbonates and actually come out of the ground with a slight, ever so slight petulance. But I don't think petulance is the right word.
What's it called again?
Polar.
Polar. Which pole is it? North or South Pole?
Well, it's got a polar bear, so it has to be North Pole.
Oh, it's got marketing. Okay, well, I'll tell you, I'm drinking a Waterloo, which is sparkling water.
It's almost identical to this. I've had Waterloo.
It's naturally flavored peach with other natural flavors.
Well, it should be. It doesn't. Wait a minute.
It has peach in it, the peach sap. It has to have
yes,
peach
but
sap.
Wouldn't it be shouldn't it be worded with natural flavors as opposed to naturally flavored? It's because naturally flavored implies that somehow it picked up this flavor naturally.
Well, it says here, naturally flavored with other natural flavors. So this is suspicious. It's got nothing in it.
Okay, well, then I think that's legal because the natural flavors in this case would be just nothing, be zero.
Yeah. It has nothing. It has nothing. It has no calories, no fat, no sodium, no sugar, no nothing. No protein, nothing. It's nothing.
It's water.
Why am I even drinking it?
I have no idea. It makes no sense.
So if Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is an op, and I think you and I like what he's saying about, okay, I'm going to, you know, get rid of this. I'm going to change. It's going to be EPA, DHS, the Department of Health and Human Services. Then he sued some of these outfits before. And then he said, I'm going to reorganize the CIA.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that his former, which is always questionable, former CIA daughter-in-law, who wrote a book about her 10 years in the spooks, that she is being brought in to run his campaign.
Yeah.
And
what experience does she have running campaigns, I ask?
Well, but it may not be the experience she has in running the campaign. It may be the connection she has to the old CIA. And I can tell you that you're never ex-CIA. Look at Uncle Don. I mean, no, you're not ex-CIA. You write a book, you're going to be talking to the CIA about the book. You can't put everything in there. But Uncle Don is from the old CIA, Catholics in Action, Jump Out of Airplanes, Save the World. Well, let's get a little backgrounder. This is an interview from 4 years ago on CTV, Canadian television, of Amaryllis Fox when she just released that book. So 4 years ago, this is a little backgrounder on the campaign manager for Bobby the K / Op.
At 21 years old, Amaryllis Fox served 8 years hunting the world's most dangerous terrorists in 16 different countries. Well, now she's giving all of us.
Don't you think, I mean, every CIA person, according to the people that left and talk about this stuff, they're given new names, all of them. Don't you think Amaryllis Fox is one hell of a name to give somebody?
What do you mean new names? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
No, my family has never changed their names.
Well, they were built. I'm just saying.
New names. 41 years old. Amaryllis Fox.
Well, she did. She went from Amaryllis Fox to Amaryllis Fox Kennedy. Hello. New name. New brand.
Amaryllis Fox. There's no kid is named Amaryllis Fox.
This is her name. I can't help
Nobody
it.
Named their kid Amaryllis if their last name was Fox. Let me...
What would you name your kid?
Unless they want their kid to be a stripper. That's a stripper's name.
At 21 years old, Amaryllis Fox served 8 years hunting the world's most dangerous terrorists in 16 different countries. Well, now she's giving all of us a glimpse at her own life undercover. Amaryllis Fox is joining us in studio this morning. Good to have you here.
Thanks so much for inviting me.
Listen, how does one get invited to join the CIA and at such a young age?
You know, I think everyone comes to it in a different way. For me, I was really affected by the trauma of 9/11. It brought back the early loss of my best friend in third grade on the flight that went down over Lockerbie, Scotland. So the first person I knew who died and was taken by terrorists. And when 9/11 happened, I remembered my dad's advice, which was you have to understand the forces that take the people you love or you'll be overwhelmed by the fear of them.
So right there, what a great person to mind control into the CIA. She has admitted trauma. Perfect for the agency.
When I did my grad.
Hold on. That's assuming that bullcrap story is even true.
Good point.
You love or you'll be overwhelmed by the fear of them. When I did my graduate work at Georgetown, building an algorithm that could predict terrorist activity. And that's where I met the CIA officer in residence.
And how does that conversation go?
Don't you love that? I love that bit. The CIA officer in residence. Just
at Georgetown, a CIA officer in residence. I think that was a flub. I don't think that's what. No.
It's not supposed to be known. Well, it gets better.
Take the people you love or you'll be overwhelmed by the fear of them. Went into my graduate work at Georgetown, building an algorithm that could predict terrorist activity. And that's where I met the CIA officer in residence.
And how does that conversation go? Do they say, we need you, come join us?
Yeah. Hey, Blondie. Want to jump out of airplanes and save the world? I like that she was building an algorithm. Very interesting. She was building an algorithm. Oh.
And how does that conversation go? Do they say, we need you, come join us?
Yeah, you know, he asked me if I thought I'd gotten all of the inputs in this algorithm. And I said, I think I got all of the ones that I could get in the library on microfiche. You know, I'm dating myself. But what I'm really interested...
I got to stop this again. She was building algorithms in the years of microfiche? How old is she? Hold on a second. How old is she?
That's an interesting observation about the microfiche.
That is, what kind of algorithm was she building? Let me see. She's from 1980? So she's 43. Interesting. Okay, we continue.
It could be bullcrap. You know, she's full of it. Okay.
I'm thinking you're right.
Station go. Do they say, we need you, come join us?
Yeah, you know, he asked me if I thought I'd gotten all of the inputs in this algorithm. And I said, I think I got all of the ones that I could get in the library on microfiche. You know, I'm dating myself. But
is it microfiche or microfish? Which one is it? Is it microfiche or fish? I'm not sure. It's the point of contention.
The inputs in this algorithm. And I said, I think I got all of the ones that I could get in the library on microfiche. You know, I'm dating myself. But what I'm really interested in is when you sit down across from somebody who will actually tell you why they're going to get up tomorrow morning and fly a plane into a building, that's the kind of abhorrent crime against humanity that I want to understand so that we can stop it. And he said, so do we.
Okay. So again, bringing up the trauma, that's the story. I agree. But this next clip for me solidifies that she, if on any of this is true, or maybe a different version of it is true, she was recruited and is a member of the old school CIA, the old jump out of airplane, save the world, perhaps the CIA that is sick and tired of the new CIA, sick and tired of what's going on.
Which I might add is more likely to create a bogus story.
Yes, of course. Michael
Fish.
And
the new honest, sincere CIA folk.
Fish.
There are so many questions to have about what life is like undercover. There's so many TVs and movies that have been made about it. What's great about your book is you've got real life examples of just the different communication skills. Talk to us about antacids and coffee cards.
Well, these are the tradecraft tricks that we all learn. I was kind of the last generation of the Cold War warriors, even though I joined after 9/11. My teachers were still those old school spycraft guys. You know, the chalk marks for signal sites. You know, Rolaids are better than chalk because if they're in your pocket, you don't get in trouble, whereas chalk looks a little suspicious if you get stopped. The thing is that today, I don't envy people who are doing the work that I was doing because they have facial recognition and biometrics to deal with. Yeah. And that's a whole new world. So some of this is still some of the old school spycraft. In the end, all of that is just to be sure that you're safe when you do the real work. And the real work is building human relationships with sources who can help us prevent attack.
So the Rolaids is great. Yeah, I think she's old school CIA. And this is just another little bit in the story that Adam and John have concocted about Bobby the Op, that she is an old school CIAer. And the new guys
are... And reorging would be going back to the old ways.
Exactly. Exactly.
So let's get these computer geeks out of here. Stop this, you know, hiring, diversity hiring. Let's get some guys out in the field. Hum-int. Let's do all that stuff.
Let's stop killing. Let's go back to good old assassinations.
Government kind of overthrow.
We don't know what's true or not, but we will keep our eye on it for you. And with that, I'd like to thank you for your courage. Say in the morning to you, the man who put the C in the CIA microfiche. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to my friend and the other, and one another day, John, say in the morning.
Well, in the morning to you, Mr. Adam Kermis. In the morning, in the sea, from boots on the ground, feet in the air, subs in the water, names the nights out there.
And with $2.35 into the show, let's count our trolls.
Joke out.
Hold on. Running away. It looks like we have 2,086 trolls still hanging out with us, which I think is probably good.
Very low. I want to see 2,300 on Sunday, minimum.
This is Sunday. Oh, you mean on a Sunday? On a Sunday.
On a Sunday.
Well, it was 2,400 an hour ago, says Blue Deuce 33. So, you know, people get tired. They fall down like, oh, I can't handle it anymore.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. It doesn't matter because those who are here in the thousands, they're getting all the good stuff. This is where you get the special bonus.
You always listen to the show as a podcast.
Yes. Oh, it's true. Yes, it's one of those things that turns out to be very, very handy. It's a podcast idea. And you can still listen to it as a podcast because we have modern podcast apps. It's how you can become a troll. You can get one of those at podcastapps.com and be alerted when the bat signal goes out. Or you could join the trolls at trollroom.io. You can troll along, listen to the live stream. NoAgendaStream.com. That has been with us almost as many as our 16 years. And let me see. I was gonna. You know, I had nothing to complain about. No Agenda Social. Actually, it seemed to be picking up a bit in usefulness for me recently.
How's that?
I don't know, but it's I mean, you know, people still do memes and stuff, but I think it was because. From our 16th anniversary, people were tagging me in posts that said, you know, these guys really saved my life. Yeah, I felt good about that. So, okay. So there's a, right now I just look at, because you can follow me, Adam at noagendasocial.com, John C. Dvorak at noagendasocial.com if you want to follow John. And the first post on my timeline, natural flavors means beaver taint. I mean, you know, so it's just however you want to see it is helpful. That's no agenda.
I think that's probably correct.
No Agenda Social. Thank you, Consetta. Good post. Good one. We've existed for these 16 years on Value for Value. We started that very early on, and the premise is very simple. It's now been emulated by others, but you can only do it if you have an outstanding product. It doesn't work any other way. If you're going to start a podcast and you want to sustain, then you got to be good. And it's a perfect It's actually, I'm sorry?
You have to put some work into it.
You got to put work into it. And I feel I'm very blessed that I can do this full time because of the support of No Agenda Nation. And of course, the financial support is a small percentage, but the support we get overall in our three T's, time, talent, and treasure, is quite astounding if you had to pay for it. I mean, we have servers that have set up everywhere. We have...
Well, you had to pay for that.
Yeah, but, you know... It's not like we don't have to pay what most people pay. We have great support 24/7. We've got people running the stream. We've got all kinds of things that are, I mean, how about Bing at .io? I mean, go ahead and put that on the open market. Go on Fiverr.
Forget it.
Go on Fiverr. Go on Fiverr and say, hey, build me one of these. No. No.
Fiverr.
Or whatever. Yeah, we have a bounty for making this. And the same goes for album art, which every single time is just so much fun for us to go after the show. You know, we do the credits first. Or first we determine what little opening bit we're going to use. Then we go through the credits. We try to be as meticulous as possible. Lots of switcheroos and make sure everyone gets the appropriate credit because we're about to thank our executive and associate executive producers because that's the way Hollywood operates. You know, you paid for it. You get a credit. Now, unfortunately, that's all we have. We don't have any coke or hookers or anything like that. But we do have a vaccine in case you're
hooked. Starlets.
No starlets here. But man, the artwork is so important. It catches people's eyes. It catches their eye in the podcast apps. It catches their eye when we post it on social media. You know, it becomes a topic of discussion often. It makes people want, I can't wait to listen and see what's in this one. And we got a lot of people saying, oh, wow, 16 years, because the artwork that we had for episode 1602 titled Net Equity was from Dame Kenny Ben. And it was just a nice poppy piece. No Agenda 16 years of deconstruction. It had all the elements in there. White background, which it looks great on the white, unless you're using dark mode. No Agenda, nice style. The 16 years, yellow works great. And then deconstructing with a ribbon across the bottom. It was good. I think we both enjoyed this one by Dave.
You know, there's a couple of things that now that I should bring it up because it just reminds me of some pet peeves.
Yeah, here we go.
Dark mode's one of them. But I'm noticing something with a lot of video podcasts, and uh-oh. I'd like to know what's the point. You're the podcast expert.
Yes, I am. I've been
now,
around.
Now, why do I click on a YouTube video and see 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. I see this countdown. What is the point of a countdown?
Because these quote, now, if you don't have an RSS feed, in my book, it's not a podcast. These are shows, YouTube shows that people do live. And then after their live is done, then it gets posted without editing to their stream, their feed, which is not an RSS feed. It's a YouTube channel. And that's because they were live.
Why can't they just start live?
Because they're not as professional as you and I, my friend. Now, what they do is they, you know, they'll hit the live button. Then they have that countdown. Some will wait even longer. The ones that irk me is where you wait. You have to scroll for 2 minutes or longer and just has an image there. And because they're waiting for people to show up for the notification to hit, for the people to be alerted.
Okay. It's like, well, let me give you another one then.
Okay. So that one's been answered.
Yeah, I guess. Here's this one. Young Turks. Have you watched the Young Turks within the last cable TV? It's all over the place. They'll go in there to yak, yak, yak. And then they say, and then it goes to a screen and says, we'll be back in 5 minutes.
5 minutes?
And I'm looking at this saying, what am I going to be sitting while waiting around? Why aren't they doing what most pros do, play public service announcements or something?
There's
a bunch of them available. You can get them all over the place. The Ad Council has probably hours worth that you can just grab offline and run them on your station. What is this blank screen? We'll be back in 5 minutes.
Well, the answer is these are people who do not have the expertise of the Curry Dvorak Consulting and Broadcast Organization.
They've been in broadcasting for years.
Yeah, well, they suck.
Okay, well, there's that.
How about that? They suck. Do you have any more?
No, that's the two I'm irked about.
But those are not podcasts, John.
No, but I'm just irked in general when it comes to these things.
Well,
I think the YouTube thing is considered a podcast.
No, it's not a podcast. A podcast is an RSS feed.
Okay.
People call it a podcast, and YouTube wants you to think it's a podcast. YouTube now, they closed Google Podcasts. Well, here's
the, okay, then it brings up another question.
Yeah, okay.
Why can't they cut off that 10-9, that whole bull crap in post? Before they post it.
Well, because they're not pros like you and I.
Yeah,
I don't know what to tell you. You know, YouTube closed Google Podcasts in their brilliance because they hate RSS, which is the system designed for decentralized media distribution. They don't want that. And now they have said, okay, all podcasts show up in YouTube Music app.
Yeah, I know. This is hilarious.
Because I guess Spotify was so successful with it.
Oh, yeah. Kicked ass.
Yeah. Oh, they had a profitable quarter if you don't count building, salaries, overhead, taxes, write-offs. Oh, we're profitable. Firing people. Okay. They will now allow you to give them your RSS feed, and then they will ingest your episode and rehost it. One of the deadly sins from back in the day, if you remember that. They will rehost it so you have no stats, only the YouTube stats. And they control. Oh, and you can't have any ads because they have to put their ads in, you see. It's insane. But as long as you have headphones on and are in front of a big mic, it's a podcast. I guess that's how it works. Long-winded way of getting to the discussion about the art. We thank Dame Kenny, Ben. There were other good pieces there. We liked very much Nico Symes' Happy Anniversary Guys, the 16, which I think you used for the newsletter. Looked really good. Is that the one you used?
Well, I used the one. Well,
it was Nico Symes. It was Nico Symes. I'm pretty sure
that
was Nico.
Yeah, that's Symes. The one that has the big 16.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Well, and we almost chose that one.
I liked it a lot because it was the most artsy.
Why did we choose a Dame Kenny Ben? Oh, I remember.
Because of the popping.
No, you went, Dame Kenny Ben needs a win. That's exactly what you said.
I didn't. No, Dame Kenny Ben and I have been feuding
for some time, so that wouldn't happen. You said she hates me. Maybe she'll unblock me. Maybe she'll unblock me. Is that, I think it was something.
No, I blocked her or something. She got not happy about that. But that's because of what happened on the... on the No Agenda Social, she was just ragging on the show or said something like this. She was mean.
Oh, was she mean to you?
No, I think she was mean, yeah.
Show me on the doll where she was mean to you.
Well, I can't do it now. It's scrolled off.
Oh, okay. Lots of...
We liked the Dame Kenny Ben piece was the one we picked because it was the poppiest.
Yeah, it was very poppy.
And it did get put deconstructing on there, and it was nice. It wasn't anything that popped as well because there was other 16-16s that were... You know, they were all usable. I liked the cakes, but they weren't, you know.
A little too cakey.
Too much cake and not enough pop.
Yeah. Let me see. Was there anything else? But beautiful.
You like the tramp stamp. Sweet 16 dudes.
I can't help. Every single time, whoever who does that, Parker Pauly, Black Knight Parker Pauly. I can't help but like, oh, there's the tramp stamp. There it is again.
It's never going to get picked.
It's never going to get picked. It'll never get picked. And no matter how many times he tries, it's not going to get picked.
No.
You know what? In general, just a beautiful page to look at. Thank you all so much for your time and for your talent. Everybody can follow along at noagendaartgenerator.com. It's also participatory. You can upload your own. It's free to participate in it. Just create an account, upload, and you're automatically in the running as long as you upload it before we're done with the show. And these pieces of art get used. And you can make money. No Agenda Shop. We have no contractual affiliation with them. They work with the artist directly, and they give the artist a piece of the sales. And from time to time, the shop donates to the show. And so you could easily wind up hats, hoodies, beer koozies. Is it koozie or cozy? A koozie?
Cozy.
Cozy?
Koozie used to be a player, point guard for the Boston Celtics in the 50s.
It's also jacuzzi. But you, this is beautiful art here. I'm just looking like, wow, that's so good. Oh, people are already doing Halloween art.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Halloween at all on the show.
No.
It's coming up on Tuesday.
Yeah. Do you guys get trick-or-treaters? They don't come up the hill there to your place.
No, yeah. If I get one trick-or-treater about once every 2 or 3 years, a group will make the trek. It's a pain in the ass.
And do you have candy for them, or do you give them something healthy? Yeah,
obviously.
What kind of candy do you have this year?
It's usually a couple of Twixes rolled up in a $100 bill.
Hey, he's kind of scary, but man, you can make out like a bandit if you get up there. You're that guy on the street, aren't you? Kids like, I'm not going up there, man. No. I heard he ate somebody. I'm not going up there.
Don't have that. We don't have that reputation.
Thank you so much, artists. Your time, your talent is appreciated. All of the producers who support the show. And you can also support the show by hitting somebody in the mouth. Let them know what we do here. Tweeting, tooting, all that stuff is appreciated. Just a general promotion of the show. Getting your it is also good for you. And to be fair about it, it's two ways. I feel good about doing this show. It keeps me sane and healthy as well. Now let's thank our executive and associate executive producers who brought the treasure, which is very needed. Otherwise, eventually the show stops. We've got a very tiresome year coming up, as we just discussed. We kick it off with our top executive producer, Sir Your Honest Mechanic. He's from Easley, South Carolina. Interesting number, 1019. $1,019. Let's see if there's a reason for this. Oh, it's a switcheroo, by the way. Right off for the bat for his wife, Lindsay. Let me put that in right away. No last name for Lindsay, I guess. We'll just keep it at Lindsay. Show 1600. Here's his note. We appreciate notes of moderate length. Show 1600 happened to be the same day as our 16th anniversary of 1019.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't understand this.
Oh, 10. Well, he's got an extra O in there. 10119.
Even though I've repeatedly punched her in the mouth and keep failing, I'll keep working on her. Good man.
Oh, she won't. She doesn't like us.
No, nope. Those guys probably harass children on Halloween. On my last donation, I asked for hiring karma, and the next day I received a message asking about my job opening. When I was hiring, I offered all the tool guys, my employees, vendors and friends, etc., $1,000 if they could find me an A-level tech. After his 90 days, they will receive the $1,000. Well, I believe the two of yous fall into that category. How about that? We helped him with a hire. His 90 days was last Thursday. Thank you both for keeping up the beautiful work. I'm sorry about asking for jiggles. And not jingles on my last donation. However, it is pretty funny. Please light night. My wife, Dame, Your Honest Mechanic of Easley, South Carolina. You bet. Lindsay will be Dame, Your Honest Mechanic of Easley, South Carolina. Thanks again. And he says he will take any Sharpton jiggle. And I might as well play the good one. The long one. Because it has it all in there.
He's getting lunch at Chick-fil-A. The tortoise in the race. Kim Kardashian, Sigourney Weaver,
R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
They're all jitty.
R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
There's no real conflict.
Resist.
We much.
Resist.
Just a little bit.
We much.
Just a little bit.
We much.
Just a little bit.
And we will
much.
About that recommit.
Yeah. It's got the full blast in there for you. Thank you. Thank you for Lindsay.
Now we have Sir 1% Baron of Liberland in Dixie, Washington with a 1010. And he says, ITM gentlemen, I wish to add the PhD in media deconstruction. to my degree collection.
Oh, he has
a BA in anthropology and an MA in philosophy.
Nice.
Much like a citizenship by investment program, i.e. buying a passport.
Yes.
This is a smart and time-efficient way to acquire a credential.
There you go.
On the contemporary college campus, douchebag college professors will swell your amygdala and fill your head with bullcrap. You will spend huge amounts of money to lose you lose years of time in earning opportunities for degrees that are probably worthless anyhow. Screw that. Just begin to no agenda, shrink your amygdala, be entertained, and get a head full of worthwhile knowledge. Please accept my 10-10 of treasure, $1,000 tuition plus 1%. I'm breaking with my usual 1% ways by financing a portion of this donation. However, because I am doing this by borrowing against the equity of a life insurance policy, I'm earning a net positive 8.5% annual return on the spread. Tax-free. Don't tell the Biden installation that though, because I am claiming this is a student loan debt, I demand that Uncle Scam pay it off. Allegedly, this will be great for the economy. Thanks again for what you do. I look forward to my shiny new credential. Maybe it will spark interesting conversations as I fly out to New Orleans Investment Conference this week. Just kidding. No one speaks to each other in first class.
It's true.
Actually, I always speak. I speak to people in first class. Faithfully suppress. I don't fly first class anymore because I don't work for anyone. Faithfully suppressing your exit strategy 1% at a time. Sir, 1% at Dixie. And he says, jingle request, Trump, I'm going to come. And my
F-35 scream, something hot on my leg.
My favorite.
If you can fit in just one more goat scream, karma for all.
I'm going to come.
I said, what in the world is this?
Oh, shoot. I messed it up. I'm sorry. Hold on a second. I had the wrong one queued up. Let's do it again. Just make sure we get it right.
I'm going to come.
I said, what in the world is this?
I just felt something hot on my legs.
There you go. Nasty. You've just got nasty. Nasty, karma. Nasty man. Michael Wolven with 1,000. I love you guys. I'm in for a PhD. And please knight me as Sir Wolvey of the Pump House. No jingles, no karma. Beautiful, Michael. Thank
good
you.
Good move. Stephen Schnelker, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1,000. PhD me. Knight name, Sir Don't Panic. R2-D2, karma for all.
You've got karma.
Then we have Kent Elgren, Portland, Oregon, $1,000. Hello, John and Adam. First of all, can I get a de-douche?
You've been de-douched.
I have been an on-again, off-again listener since my brother-in-law, Shane, turned me on to the show. I finally decided it was time to not pass up the offer to get a PhD, executive producership, and a knighthood, all with one donation. Thank you for keeping me sane while living in Portland, Oregon. You know, the No Agenda Millennial lives out there. You should hang out with her.
Yeah, I'm surprised she's stuck with it so long.
Yeah, she loves it. She's found
Millennial
her.
Mel.
Yeah, Millennial Mel.
We haven't heard from her for a while. Maybe she's been sucked
No, in. No. She emails with me from time to time, checks in, makes sure. She's okay. She has her community. It's good out there. Can my night name be Protector of Rose City Park? Yes. I would like vegetarian pho. Am I pronouncing that right?
Pho.
And West Coast IPA for the round table. I order your pho. It's here and it's warm.
Lagunitas would be the one you want.
The IPA?
Yeah.
Keep up the good work, Kent.
I want to remind people when they send in their, so we start printing out the diplomas, I would recommend using your name as opposed to a knight name on the diploma. Although it would be funnier.
It's funny, but it looks a little less official. People might be onto it.
Yeah, they won't take it too seriously. Anonymous, another $1,000, another PhD. Been a fan of both of you guys for over 20 years.
Wow.
Looking for some house selling karma. Figure the PhD will help if all hell breaks loose next year. Economy in general is in rough shape.
Yeah, here's some house
you've selling got karma.
Karma. Trey Ehrenberger, $1,000. I do not have a note from Trey. Do you have a note from Trey?
Nothing. No,
from
Trey. I got nothing.
All right, so he gets a double up karma by default.
You've got double up karma.
Davey Jurger in Davey, Florida. That's interesting. His town is named after him. Just sent a donation at 521, which I call the power of two donation. 4 = 2 squared, 2 = 2 to the first power, and 1 = 2 to the zero power, which also happens to be my birthday.
Okay.
And making it more power of two, 16, as in 1600, is 2 to the 4th power, is also the power of you too, John and Adam.
I love numerology in 1600 donations.
1600 shows is awesome. You have lasted longer than many marriages, and you never had a fight. All I ask is some get well karma for my wife, Diane, who's recovering from shoulder replacement surgery. Oof. Due to tripping in the garage. Aye. Please keep the shows coming. 421.
All right, Diane, here's for you.
You've got karma.
Zachary Johnson, Park Rapids in Minnesota, 200, first associate executive producer. Almost, this is only two of them. I forgot my deduce last time, so here's $200. Please do it.
You've been deduced.
Thank you very much, Zachary.
And there we go. Linda Lupatkin in Lakewood, Colorado. Jobs karma for a resume that gets results. Go to ImageMakersInc.com for all your executive resume and job search needs. That's ImageMakersInc with a K.com. Or just find Linda Lupatkin on the show's producer list.
And did she? Oh, yeah, she did ask for jobs karma. She always has the same note.
Jobs, and jobs.
I guess it works.
I guess something's working for her.
Karma.
Thank you to these executive producers, associate executive producers, and brand new PhDs. Of course, the PhD is an actual document that you can frame and put on your wall. And you will, and for those who are knights, will of course be receiving your knighting or daming in just a moment. The executive producer and associate executive producer credits are also completely real and valid. You can use them anywhere that credits of this nature are recognized. We recommend your LinkedIn, your resume, or even IMDb if you don't have one. Most don't. You do now. You can put that there. You can open up an account, and you'll see that there are many heavyweights in the entertainment industry who use IMDb, and it'll be completely valid. If anyone questions that, we will gladly vouch for you, and thank you for supporting the No Agenda podcast. John's going to take us through to number 50, and then we'll get moving because we got lots of people.
It's a pretty short list today. It is short. Sure, it's kind of disappointing. John Kihanya in Parkville, Maryland, 150. Jan Bruggink. In Schmilde.
Bruggink in Schmilde.
Schmilde. Netherlands, 8008. Kevin McLaughlin in Concord, North Carolina, 8008. And he says, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, a feel a day keeps the doctor away. Stephen Rivas in Roland Heights, California, 8008. He's got a birthday, too. He turned 53 today. John Foley in Chicago Heights, 80. Lydell Loro in Huntington Beach, California, 80. Craig Kohler in Evansville, Indiana, 6502. Ooh. Old-timers will remember that number.
What is that from, 6502?
That's the original chip that was in the Apple II computer.
Oh, yes, of course.
David Jarman in North Tooramura, New South Wales. He says one donation away from becoming a sir.
All
$65.
Right. See you soon.
Kevin McLaughlin's back with Concord, North Carolina. He's the Archduke of Luna, as we know. Breast Cancer Awareness Month 6006. Save the knockers. Jamie Buell in Vista, California, 6006. Peter Chong in Lakewood, Washington, 5510. Jeremy Porter in Austin, Texas, 5440.
And he's a first-time Rogan Show listener, electrical computer engineer from UT in Austin's 30s, multi-tech job, WFH, dad of two, while starting my company for 7 years, jporterstudios.com. Excited to hear Adam's an audiophile. Oh, I just like good audio. I don't know if I'm an audiophile.
Audiophiles, I think, refer to guys that have ridiculous stereo systems.
Yeah, yeah, and the speakers that that are flat ribbon speakers.
Ribbons.
Ribbons, baby.
Brandon Ellsbury in Zachary, Louisiana, 5011.
He requested, I want to do this because he's requesting emergency ATC jobs, karma, air traffic control, staring down the barrel of termination. There's a lot of bad stuff going down in air traffic control, and we support you, brother.
You've got karma.
We're calling
John Bolter in Trabuco Canyon, California, needs $50.01 and needs a de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
And now we have a short list of $50 donors, name and location, starting with John Taylor in Florissant, Colorado, Aaron Weisgerber in Bend, Oregon, Michael Elmore in Gastonia, North Carolina, Richard Gardner in New York City, Katharina von Esch in Hilversum, Netherlands, Zev Green in Teaneck, New Jersey, Justin Kaler in Bluffton, Indiana, David Steele in Mobile, Alabama, and last on the list is Ray Howard in Kremlin, Colorado. Short list, but a good list with all the PhDs coming in, so we want to thank everyone for helping make the show 1603 a reality.
And of course, thanks to everyone under $50. Many of you are on the sustaining donations, which are highly appreciated. Many of you are just donating $5 or $3 or $2, whatever it is, as long as it represents the same value to you for your pocketbook, then we appreciate it just as much as any other donation. I got a card. I think this is a make good from Ali Jade Olzovsky from the previous show.
The card came in finally.
Yeah, I want to read it. First of all, happy anniversary. This is Ali Jade, not the official No Agenda tranny. I'm from Paulsbo, Washington. I'm way too late for my donation of 333.33, but it's my 33rd birthday tomorrow. That was the 27th, so of course we're a day late with this.
I think she was on the list for a birthday, though.
She might have been. I just want to make sure we read the card.
Well, if she wasn't, she's on today.
So it's a sign to support my guys. I've been listening for about a year and a half, and I'm a better person since. My smoking hot unofficial husband and I listen all the time. We play the old ones constantly, and we most certainly have had a fight. We have two kids, and our two-year-old even says, "Can we not listen to No Agenda?" Well, he might get there. We love and appreciate you and No Agenda way more than this little donation can say, but we are poor. Can you please play Obama's You Might Die? Okay, well, we're going to have to do that another time for you. But we appreciate you, Ali Jade Olzovsky, and thank you very much for your support of the No Agenda Show. And thank you all for supporting us, especially our executive and our associate executive producers. We see you. Thank you for supporting us here for episode 1603.
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Water. Water. Shut up, Slay.
Shut up, Slay. It's your birthday. Oh, no,
and we do have a list of birthdays. Steven Rivas turns 53 today. Sir Andy and Dame Kylie wish Spencer a happy birthday for today, the 29th. Mark Van Dyke, Mr. Boy Zero, wishes his sweet, beautiful wife, Iris, a very happy birthday. She turns 39 today. Happy birthday. Feliz dias. David Pessoa wishes his daughter, Kimura Gonzalez, a happy birthday. She's 26 on November 1st. And finally, he's back, and you'll hear him later in our end of show mix. The one and only Mr. Sir Chris Wilson. Shout out to his Sir Felix. That's his son, who is 14 today. The young knight is nearly as tall as he is and has a tough an amygdala for his age and a great bullshit detector. Perfect. Happy birthday to you from everybody here, the best podcast in the universe.
It's your birthday, yeah.
And now we'd like to invite our PhD graduates here up on the podium. to receive your doctorate, your honorary PhD degree, and for that we say, hello, Sir Honest, your honest mechanic, Sir 1% Baron of Liberland, Michael Wolven, Stephen Schnelker, Kent Elgren, Anonymous, Trey Ehrenberger, PhD graduates from 1600, which we promised we'd do, Jonathan Poehler, Dame Cece, Dame Nancy, Bruce Schwalm, Dude Named Ralph, Circus Media, Nicholas Everett, Shun Pang, Jeff Anderson, Jeff Leitner, Thomas Sneezik, Sir Otaku, Bessie Tolbert, Sir Skyright, and Sir Dude Named Dr. Kelly. All of you are now recipients of the No Agenda PhD in Media Deconstruction. Do good. Go out into the world and make yourselves fine, fine PhDs. Oh, I need some text there. We need to write something for that.
Yeah,
working on it. Now we have one dame and a couple of knights. So a sword is
got my blade ready.
Ooh, nice blade. Perfect blade. Beautiful. Lindsay, come on up here. Michael Wolven, Stephen Schnelker, Kent Elgren, all of you have supported the No Agenda Show in the amount of $1,000 or more. That means you are now knights or dame. I am very proud to pronounce the KD as Dame, your honest mechanic, Sir Wolvey of Pump House, Sir Don't Panic, and Sir Protector of Rose Park City. For you, of course, we have Hookers and Blow, Rent Boys, and Chardonnay. By request, we have Vegetarian Fall and West Coast IPA. We got Redheads and Rye, Beers and Blunts, Urbanesque Women and Rosé, Geishas and Sake, Vodka Manila, Sparkling Silent Escorts, Bong Hits and Bourbon, Ginger Ale and Gerbils, Breast Milk and Pablum. And oh yeah, of course, we've got some mutton and mead for you. Head on over to noagendarings.com. That is where you can find not only your knight and dame ring. You can look at that. You can send us your, there's a handy sizing guide. You can send us your address as well. Your PhD, you can also enter your address on the noagendarings.com site. And of course, the rings come with wax to seal your important correspondence along with a certificate of authenticity. And thank you all for becoming knights, dames, and PhDs of the No Agenda Show.
No Agenda Meetups.
No Agenda Meetups. It's where you go to connect. The show is not just the show. The show is a community, and we have community everywhere, including Fort Wayne, Indiana. This is the Lost Meetup Report from September.
Adam and John, this is Shannon, co-host in Fort Wayne. We had our 9999 meeting today, and connection is protection. Screw Trojan.
In the morning, this is Dame Trinity. Have a great time in Fort Wayne.
And PBR Street Gang, thank you for your courage.
Thank you for your courage. The ITM Richmond meetup sent us a report.
In the morning, this is Dame Trail Chicken at Licking Hole Creek.
In the morning, is that Saja?
In the morning, from Sir J. Dub.
In the morning, it's Baron of Massaponics and the Rappahannock Harry Pilgrim here.
In the morning, is Happy in Virginia, formerly Unhappy New York, and it's all scam.
In the morning, this is Amy.
Hey, in the morning, this is Jamie. It's hot out here, actually.
In the morning, it's Jennifer, Harry's wife.
This is Tom Starkweather, enjoying the open fields of the Commonwealth of Virginia, back where I'm supposed to be.
But did they say boobs at the end there? Good. Leo Bravo, finally, from our reports. He, of course, does the No Agenda Los Angeles meetup, the Flight of the No Agendas.
Hey, everybody, it's Leo Bravo, meetup number 45. I'm passing the phone around. Our guests have things to say.
In the morning, this is Andrew representing the ranch.
In the morning, it's Jeff. They're an OG Godcaster here. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Steve.
John. ITM. May God bless you richly.
Here comes a plane. Coming a plane.
45! We're at the Proud Bird, but it's a scam!
It's all a scam!
In the morning!
Thank you so much. We have meetups happening today at the post-marathon Dublin meetup. Oh, so that should be over by now. The Waterloo Bar in Dublin, Ireland. I was expecting a report from Sir Swiss Senna. They sent a picture. They posted a picture on No Agenda Social. There were like 6 or 7 people there in Switzerland. So I hope you have time to send a report. Oh. Sir Spooky's Halloween Spooktacular is already underway at Brandon Johnson's Gross. Oh, no, I'm sorry. At Salerno Pizzeria and R Bar, that's Western Springs, Illinois, so you can probably still join them. I'm sure it's still ongoing. The next meetups we have Wednesday, the third monthly Webster County Whet Your Whistle meetup, 5 o'clock at Community Tap and Pizza, Fort Dodge, Iowa. The New Hampshire meetup, 5:30 at the Community Oven in Epping, New Hampshire. And the next show day, Thursday, November 2nd, Five Forks First Thursday inaugural meetup, 6 o'clock at Bullwinkle's Tavern, Simpsonville, South Carolina. And finally on the list for Thursday, November Northern Wake No Agenda Meetup. There we go. I got it out. 6 o'clock at Compass Rose Brewery in Raleigh, North Carolina. Reminder that we have a meetup coming up in Austin on the 18th of November. The Keeper and I will both be there. We also have the Indianapolis, Indiana meetup December 4th, where the Keeper and I will also be attending. Yes, we are making good on our promises. No agenda meetups. You don't need us to be there. You can just use Heads on a Stick. And yes, I will provide a new picture for new Heads on Sticks with the new teeth because, man, those old pictures are janky. That is not looking good. No agenda meetups, where you can find connection, which will provide you with protection. Your community is out there at the meetups. Go and figure out if there's one near you, noagendameetups.com. If you can't find one, start yourself. It's very easy and guaranteed always a party.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You want to be where you want me, triggered on hell's flame. You want to be where everybody feels the same.
Like a potty, baby. I don't think I have any. I have two ISOs. I think I fell down on the job for the ISOs. I'll play them for you. I'm sure you have something better. Here we go. Number one.
I have no agenda other than what's best for the American people.
Too long. And
I always like try and connect with no agenda.
See, people keep sending me no agenda. Those aren't really necessarily the
doesn't
best.
Doesn't work as end of show.
Doesn't
it's
really
cute,
work.
Though. It's cute. If we had a compilation of maybe 50 of them, because
oh,
cool.
I bet I can do a compilation of 50 of them. But I also
it'd
saw
be kinda cool.
You have a whole bunch here. So
I have 1, 2, 3. That is a whole bunch. It's 4. Let's start with let's start from the top. Instructive.
Really instructive.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm,
yeah, end of show. Mm-hmm. Really instructive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very positive message.
Very positive.
There's another one. Sick.
They're all sick.
Okay. Yes.
Triggering.
So triggering.
Okay.
What are they?
What are they talking about?
I think
they're all sick.
I like that one the best. It's kind of the best one because triggering has little.
So triggering. Yeah.
If it was only it was complete, I could chop it off.
I like it with the little thing at the end.
So triggering, yeah.
Okay.
So triggering, yeah.
Okay.
Sick. What do you think?
So triggering. I'll do no. No. So triggering is fine. I'll do that one. I'm good for it. I'm good. You got anything to play us out? We're at 3:15.
Yeah, I do have a talk.
Okay. You got a talk, a TikTok. Hold on a second.
Yeah, this is some poor girl in the South, and she's like, she's attractive. She's a pretty girl, but with the big nose ring through her septum hanging off her nose like a booger ring, and then just random tats all over herself. Tats.
Oh no.
And she's lamenting the fact that, and she uses this word, which is the reason I clipped it. This word, wife me up.
Wife me up?
Yeah, because she's bitching about the fact she's single and no one wants to wife her up, meaning marry her. But I never heard this term before, and I thought it was interesting. But here she goes with her lament.
No, I got to play the jingle. Here we go.
Talk, TikTok.
I just came to the realization why I'm single. Every guy that I'm like, oh yeah, he's attractive. Okay, this is not supposed to be offensive, but I see their wives and they just look like so, like, you know, like, not like this, just like, you know, like, I pretend my tattoos are gone.
Dude, I look crazy. Like, that's why guys don't want to wife me up. And I just come to this realization today. See? Or maybe it's because all of them see me eat sushi after I get out of the grocery store in my car with my bare fingers and drink sweet tea. Guys, I thought these men wanted, like, you know, big, strong, tough girls. I don't know. I feel like all of them are, like super girly, and all these guys are like, yeah, that's my girl. That's just, like, housewife stuff. And I'm over here, like, I own my own business. I'm covered in tattoos. I'm a little spazzy, but that's okay. We embrace it. But, yeah, I don't think any guy's going to wife me up because they can't take me seriously. And I just realized that.
Wow, I could have done without that.
It's so sad.
Yes, that is a descriptor. It's so sad.
It's so sad. Her friend is TikTok. And so she's blurting this out, this pathetic pathetic plea. And as you see it, you just shake your head going, my God, what's the world coming to?
You need to see the documentary Bama Rush if you want to see some pathetic TikTok. Bama Rush.
I'm on it.
There will be a test. That's it for our deconstruction for today. We gave you all that and then some. Man, we are running late. Alert the affiliates. We have end of show mixes from Professor JJ. Also, Sir Chris Wilson, who was back with a vengeance with a great end of show song more than a mix.
A killer.
Up next on the No Agenda Stream, Complex Candor featuring Lady Vox and Sam Lady Vox, who said she doesn't support us anymore because she hates us. So we're glad that you can use the resources. Coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country in FEMA Region number 6. In the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where I remain, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We return on Thursday for more Media Deconstruction. Please join us, won't you? Hit somebody in the mouth. Bring them along, too. Have a great Sunday, everybody. Until next time, adios, mofos, a hooey hooey, and such.
We must stop the terror. To stop these terrorist killers. Now, what's the drive?
You know, I regret saying some things I shouldn't have said, dead or alive.
Now watch this drive.
Look who came to the ball game.
Bring them on.
No one remembers what
was. Dead or alive.
First 9/11 and then I ran.
Which thanks to Warner
Rose. Obama decided he'd never look back. Had mission accomplished. Gitmo was never the same. Torture, fun, bomb, play World War III. Rinse, repeat again.
As President of the United States, you better be careful what you say. Dead or alive.
We must stop the terror.
You know, I regret saying some things I shouldn't have said. Those weapons of mass destruction got to be somewhere.
Now watch the drive.
Weapons over there
to stop these terrorist killers.
You know, I regret saying some things I shouldn't have said. Nope, no weapons over there.
TV with Danny LaRue, who dressed for his own pleasure. And we all saw Decathlon Bruce become Miss Caitlyn Jenner. I've never been to a White House ball sponsored by Big Pharma, or invited to a party that was hosted by Michelle Obama. Social justice moves too fast for me. Homophobia is the place to be. What is a woman's now up for debate? They say they're not gay, they're definitely not straight. Use the right pronouns or you'll feel the hate.
That's why the lady is a trans. Male pattern baldness is under those curls. Looks like a drag queen in ermine and pearls. Can't quite fit in with the rest of the girls. That's why the lady is a trans. She's got that excess bodily hair. Something down there to choke a bloke from California with a fake neo-clan. That's why the lady is a trans.
Mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
So triggering.